about.
Can you hear me through the microphone?
I can. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
You are Mr. Hollywood Yates, but yes. People who are fans of American Gladiator would probably know you better as...
Wolf.
Even if they're just a wolf.
A wolf?
A wolf.
A wolf.
Yeah, that's what I said, a wolf.
A wolf.
A wolf.
Wolf.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Hi, yes, I'd like to order a last-minute stripper. Preferably of Asian heritage. Very bendy. With a heart of gold. And a crotch of gold. Yeah, I'll hold.
And now...
Occupy Wall Street! Occupy Wall Street! Occupy Wall Street! Nothing is gonna happen.
Our feature presentation.
I'd like to order the same stripper.
Is that
bendy? I love that bendy is on the menu.
Morning, everybody. Awesome. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Monday morning, and welcome back.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they?
They're fine, thank you. Nothing disastrous happened over the weekend.
Okay, good. You take care of those,
okay?
They're
right where they're supposed to be.
Because that's all you got, so I'm just saying.
Wow.
Well, that is sad, if that's the truth.
Nice start.
So, welcome on in, everybody. Big weekend behind us, especially for sports fans. Wow, right? Who would have thought that we'd come in Monday and Kings would have won their game one of the new round of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Awesome.
Clippers would have taken care of Memphis. They're in their second round now, heading off to San Antonio. Lakers miraculously held on. They managed to win their series as well. A lot of good news.
They tried to give it away. You know, the Lakers tried to, but
everything they could. And how about having Ron Artest back, by the way?
Oh, my God.
That made a difference.
Sure did. But, man, does he like to shoot. Man, when he touches a basketball, he thinks, I could nail it from right here.
Yeah. And he's not right?
Sometimes he's right. And
sometimes he's in the locker room, though.
Yeah. And you know, when he makes a shot early, you go, oh, no. It's like going to Vegas and you score a jackpot the first time you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then so every time you'll go back 100 times before you realize, hey, this isn't how it works. So he'll make a shot and then he'll just start shooting like crazy.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Worked.
Worked. Worked for at least yesterday. We'll see how he does against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I think the consensus seems to be Oklahoma City in five. Seems to be what the experts are saying.
How dare you? The experts know nothing.
Well, okay. Anyway, good luck, everybody, and your respective teams. Here's an interesting story to get us going. You know, the Second Amendment is every bit as powerful as the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or any of the amendments. They don't discriminate in the amendments to the Constitution as to which ones are important and which ones aren't. They're all important. And that's why this story has really made a lot of national headlines, because there's a blind guy in Rockaway, New Jersey, who had his right to bear arms taken away from him a few years ago. They said, you're a blind guy. You don't get to keep guns. To which he argued, I have a constitutional right to keep guns. And they said, yeah, but what about the part where you're a drunk and your tenant says you drink 30 beers a night? And what about the part where you shot yourself in the leg cleaning your gun?
Oh, God.
What about all of that? And they have fought it and fought it and fought it all the way up to the highest court they could get to. And he's allowed to have guns.
What?
Even though he has shot himself in the shin, even though he, you know, has abused alcohol in the past, been involved in bar brawls. They said, we can't stop you from having a gun just because of that. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I will say that other people who have shot themselves with guns, drink a lot, and are in bar brawls still get to have their guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you put on the added layer of blind.
Well, blind seems like it's not just an added layer.
That might change it a little bit.
I mean, maybe that's a bigger factor.
I'm not sure what he's going to try to shoot with the guns.
You know, you can't drive if you're blind, and there's a reason for that.
Right.
Yeah, his attorney said, first they said he couldn't own guns because he was blind. Then they tried, you're a habitual drunkard, and we think it's improper because you're drunk. And they kept fighting it and fighting it. And he's, in case you're wondering, by the way, he became legally blind as a result of diabetes in 1991. That's when he lost his sight. He had always been a gun collector and enthusiast up until that point, and he didn't see any reason why he should stop participating in that. And he had dozens of guns. When the police came after he shot himself, they just seized all of his guns.
Yeah.
And they said himself. No. But, wow. I mean, people shoot themselves all the time cleaning guns.
They do. It's true.
Which makes you a dumbass, by the way, if you are a gun owner and you can't tell whether it's loaded or not.
Agreed. But he's blind.
Yes.
So I can't get past that part.
So if you were the Superior Court judge in this case, you would say what?
I would say, I think I would start with, he's blind.
Right.
Next blind. Case.
But blind people still have constitutional rights. That's why this is so
interesting. Yeah, but they also can't do certain things because they have...
But collecting guns is legal. A thing that they can do, though.
He can
this
have
isn't the same
guns.
As driving a car.
He can't yes. have his bullets.
Exactly. He can collect them.
There's
but
the problem.
Does he carry?
It doesn't say that he carries with him, and I don't know that you can in New Jersey, but there is a condition that he is only allowed to fire weapons in the presence of an adult trained in the use of firearms.
All right, and only at himself.
Well, I don't think it says that.
No. I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Well, let's give you a gun.
Well, clearly he wasn't firing a weapon with an adult in the room when he shot himself, you know, while cleaning a gun. But right. It was an accident, too. He wasn't intending to. It's not like he went out and just started shooting up outside without being able to see what he was doing. But I thought it was an interesting case.
Hmm.
It is. I imagine that doesn't come up a lot.
It sure does seem like blind trumps everything else. Or at least it should. But who knows? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abin Show, shall we?
The choice is yours. And in case you've forgotten, I am indifferent.
People who have number OCD, this is the crazy people that we started talking about last week where they have to, they're getting gas and they have to stop right on a round number. Like if it's 19 gallons, they have to get it right to 19 gallons, not 1901, because that 01 is ugly.
Well, I'm more of the how much money you're paying than I am the gallons guy. Like I don't care if it's 19,
right.
you know 19.2 gallons as long as the amount ends up being an even number.
Right. And that's the
that's
same craziness either way.
Yeah.
I bought gas this weekend, 80-80. Spent 80-80.
So when
pretty
it was,
sweet.
When it was 80-78, you were like touching it. Just, go over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't walk away. I couldn't leave the job half done.
Wow.
I tried that this weekend. I rounded up my gas to an even number.
Mm-hmm.
It
felt
made
good,
no
right?
difference at all.
Did it help?
Felt good.
Not in any way. I felt
drove
stupid.
Away with a smile on your face, didn't you?
Thought,
you
know what this I is did? Retarded.
I got in the car, listened to some music, and then when it clicked, it was over. It was full. I got out, and then I put it away and drove off.
And then you drove away.
And you know what? Fine.
Heathen.
Felt good.
Heathen.
Fine. That was just fine. So there are a lot of people who have number OCD, and they all are supporting Bean, and we need to make sure that Bean understands that these
because
people are all crazy.
We have listeners that are right also. That's why.
But you can admit they're crazy.
No, there's
good.
Nothing crazy about
good.
It.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. All right, on today's show, we also have 800-pound bride.
Oh, yes.
Ladies,
I wonder who made that dress.
She got a man, you didn't. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my only point of bringing that story up.
And I bet he's a winner.
Oh, I'm sure he is, yeah. We are going to have an agent. I'm sorry, not an agent, but a... a casting agent. It is an agent, thank you. Lisa, sitting here.
Not helping.
Smiling.
Thank you, Lisa. I was very
impressed. I've been beaten into the ground for that.
We're going to do Ask a Casting Agent today.
Oh, that is interesting.
That way.
And about his couch?
A lot of people who, it's a her.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people in this city are trying to figure out a way to get on TV. There are more shows than have ever been available
That's
for
true.
Non-actors.
Now, you
days.
Should mention reality shows is what we're talking about.
Okay. Reality shows.
Okay.
And she is an expert. I mean, she has been on the big shows. You know, she's done, you know, The Bachelor and Survivor and shows like that. And if you ever wondered how to impress the casting director, how to be chosen to be on one of those shows, she's the one to talk to. She's written a book about it. She's going to come in and take your calls on any questions you may have.
Excellent.
We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have highlights of the Repo Games, which has been on and just fantastic lately.
Such a good show.
That's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Thanks for tuning in here on a Monday. Time to take our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new show. By the way, I forgot to mention this, but the Black Keys are coming to town. Staples Center and Honda Center in October. We're giving away tickets this week, and you're going to be eligible for a key that could win you. This is one of the coolest things we've ever given away. Could win you the vehicle on the front of the El Camino album.
Really?
Awesome.
Which, if I recall correctly, and everybody's seen the cover by now, it's a minivan. If I recall correctly, that was their touring van. That was the van they went out and just beat to crap for all those years. before they made it. That was their actual van. So that's a piece of rock and roll history right there.
That's going to smell.
That is good. That's a terrible thing and a wonderful thing to own all at the same time.
It's a great item and a horrible item.
It should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's what I say one day. But anyway, that's what we're giving away all this week on K-Rock, so stick around for that. Well, the Avengers, I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm not, you know, I don't go to a lot of movies. This is Bean speaking. I'm going to say it's a hit. At this point, I'm going to declare that it is a hit.
I went again this weekend.
Did you?
Did you now?
Yeah.
I haven't gone yet. I am going, but I haven't gone yet. It was Mother's Day weekend.
All the crap you see.
Lisa, we'll talk about your movie when we get to it in the top 10, but listen to this. The Avengers. Now, this is a second weekend, kids, and you know, you listen to this show, you know that usually we come in the first weekend is like, you know, 30 million, 40 million for, you know, the big movies. This is a second weekend for The Avengers. $104 million.
Wow.
Second weekend. What?
Jeez.
It crossed the $1 billion mark yesterday. And I guess today it'll pass Transformers Dark of the Moon, which was the number 4 best-grossing film of all time. So The Avengers, which has been out for, you know, 10 days or something like that, is going to be the number 3 highest-grossing movie of all time later today or tomorrow.
Wow.
You would, I mean, if it dropped to half of what it did the first weekend, it would be amazing.
You'd still be impressed.
Yes. It did drop to about half of what it did the first weekend, because it did 200 the first weekend.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
That's
fairly
still stunning.
It's insane. It has made more in 2 weeks, which isn't really full 2 weeks, by the way. It's just a week with a weekend on either side.
Right.
It has made more already than The Hunger Games has, and that's been out for 2 months. And The Hunger Games is a smash.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is just printing money. It's insane. $104 million for The Avengers. Number 2 at the box office this weekend was Dark Shadows, which did not get great reviews, but still pretty respectable. $28.5 million came in at number 2. Think Like a Man was number 3, the Steve Harvey film. Then The Hunger Games at 4, The Lucky One, 5-Year Engagement, Pirates, exclamation point, Band of Misfits. And then, Lisa, the movie you and your mom saw, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
I love this movie. I thought it was charming and it was funny. Maggie Smith is just crazy and awful in the beginning.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about?
And,
the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
You'll know his name, Bean, but the guy from Slumdog Millionaire is in it, and he's wonderful.
Patel.
Yes,
yeah,
it was really good.
And of course, the great Judi Dench too. So that came in at number 8. I want to hear Kevin do director commentary. You know, the DVD, like the DVD commentary on that movie.
I would love to.
Chimpanzee at 9, and then Girl in Progress rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
John Travolta update. His lawyers, of course, are calling all of these claims of sexual harassment and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just let's before we move on and talk about the new people that are suing John Travolta, because it does seem like it's a bandwagon. It's super possible that he's a rich guy and people are trying to get money.
That's true.
People don't necessarily sue because something happened. We know this firsthand. But having said that, a third and fourth person are now coming out.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
One of them is a cruise ship worker named Fabian. He told the Chilean TV show that Travolta offered him $12,000 to have sex with him while on a cruise in 2009.
Sounds like a pretty good deal. I would accuse John Travolta of nothing more than being generous.
So he went to his superior and he said, "Hey, John Travolta just offered me money." And his superior said, "Go to your room and stay there." Confined him to his room, then fired him.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
So
that's a raw deal if he was telling the truth, by the way.
Yeah, it is if he was telling the truth. And the Peninsula Hotel, a former employee, told the New York Daily News over the weekend that John Travolta was placed on the hotel spa's blacklist for over 3 years because of, quote, inappropriate behavior.
You know, this is going to be a class action lawsuit before we're done.
It is, right?
I'm trying to figure out how to get in on it. I've never even met Mr. Travolta.
So they say inappropriate behavior around spa staff, namely requesting a guy for his massage and then removing his towel, grinding against the massage table and lifting his butt in the air.
Well, I will say he seems to have an MO.
Yeah.
Unless the first guy laid out the template and everybody else who's suing after him is just copying what he said, they sure seem to have similar stories to tell. Don't they?
They sure do.
He just loves a good massage.
He really does.
Yeah. Can't hate on a guy for that, right?
Nope.
But what's weird is these are all super nice places. I mean, does this work? This must have... If it happened, let's say that, it can't be the first time it's happened.
It must work, like...
It must work.
80% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Or it just doesn't get reported because they think, like the guy on the cruise ship, that they won't be believed.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
It's not like... It's not like John Travolta snapped and now in, you know, four times in the last four massages lost it.
Right.
I mean, this must work. I'm going to make a note.
And I think the high-end hotels probably just, they don't want to make a big deal about it because they've got these clients that spend a lot of money there. And they just they deal with it internally, I would imagine. And oftentimes, who knows, maybe you make that deal and the massager is game. The masseur says sure.
Right.
And it's a deal. It's a deal, you know, so there's no reason to complain at that point. Everybody's happy. Yeah, speaking of celebrity sex, here's two more quick things before we go. New celebrity sex tape, according to TMZ.com, is Tyson Beckford. Now, he is a model, actor, right? And the girls love him, right?
Yes.
He's super dreamy. Right. Well, according to TMZ, he was on, you know, basically a webcam with a girl, and they had a very spicy online chat that she, I guess, recorded. The footage is being shopped to a few adult entertainment companies, and he's on talking about movies that he's been in and says how much he hates it when people can't tell the difference between him and Tyrese Gibson.
Nice.
They do kind of look alike. His representatives have no comment so far until they get to see the material, but apparently he's, I mean, he would be by himself in the video, but that would still be something that some people would want to see. The other one, this one's just for you, Kevin. It's not a sex tape. It's panties that you can buy. You ready for celebrity panties?
Well, I don't really have that collection, but go ahead.
There are people who like them, I'll tell you that. Pre-owned panties. Before I tell you who they are, I'm going to tell you how much they're going for. They're on eBay right now. The opening bid was
$4,000. $4,000?
Okay, how did someone get these to put up on eBay?
I don't know, and I am extremely curious when I tell you that the panties belong to one of the most famous women in the world, Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh! No.
Are they big girl panties?
Yes, of course they're big girl panties. And they got dust in them. You don't see her wearing a thong?
No.
See Liz rocking a thong?
That isn't good for you.
No.
They feature an embossed crown on them, Her Majesty's initials, and a few sexy flowers.
Nope.
And the opening bid was $4,000 if you want to buy the Queen's panties. I'm not sure, again.
Nope.
That seems like an unlikely thing for somebody to get. I don't know how that works.
How do you verify it?
Yes.
Do you have a picture of her them?
They do have the, you know,
her
crown on it. Yeah, I mean, it seems like something somebody could fake, but.
How is it possible?
There's so many questions.
I can't get my head around that. How is it possible? With the security that she has, how is it possible that, A, they got stolen?
Right? The other thing I can think is it had to have been an inside job. Somebody on, you know, the staff.
Inside of her panties?
No, somebody on the staff. Somebody who deals with her laundry.
Or her lover.
Oh,
she gave him a pair, and now he's turned on her. Love gone wrong in the castle.
Oh, my God, is that ugly.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Oscar-winning. I think she won her Oscar for screenwriting, but she's a famous director, too. Sofia Coppola, of course, made Lost in Translation and other films, turns 41 years old today.
Drop that bomb on us and go right to birthdays. Wow, I'm really...
Hunter Bergen, the bass player for AFI, is 36 today. Actress Amber Tamblyn from Joan of Arcadia is 29 today. Mark Zuckerberg, he is 28 and is worth what? Billions of dollars?
And probably going to be worth more.
Aren't they just doing the IPO now?
This week. Yeah. Yep. This week, yeah. Miranda Cosgrove, iCarly, is 19 years old today, by the way. George Lucas turns 68. Robert Zemeckis, another unbelievably successful and talented filmmaker, turns 61. David Byrne of the Talking Heads is 60. Great actor Tim Roth is 51 today. C.C. DeVille from Poison is 50. Wow, a lot of birthdays. Ian Astbury from The Cult, also 50. Fab from Milli Vanilli, 46 years old today.
Wow.
And actress, Oscar winner actress Kate Blanchett is 43, and that's your showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 8 minutes after 6.
That song made a hell of a lot more sense when we were playing it in the winter, by the way.
Yeah,
it seems weird. It's like listening to Christmas music now to hear the sound of winter today. Oasis on the way, also Linkin Park and Jimmy Eat World. This is the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Been a while since we talked about repo games, Kevin, but I know you still watch it. You still love it.
I love the repo games. This is this is a game where if you're late on your payments, your car gets taken. That's just the way it works.
Right.
Many of you may not know that, but it's legal, and they give Repo Man the keys
to
your car.
Our listeners know what happens when they fall behind on their car payments. Come on.
That's a good point. I'm sorry. So they started this game where you have to answer 3 out of 5 trivia questions. If you answer 3 out of 5 and you get them right, then that you not only get to keep your car, they pay it off.
That is a pretty nice deal.
Right. But this
the people that they run into are not always the smartest people in the world. So the first couple that I have are sitting here, and they're listening to them trying to work it out. And the answer is, the answer is Megan Fox. So it's unacceptable that they can't come up with that. They don't even understand the question, so he repeats it.
Question number one, what tattooed beauty from the Transformers movies is married to Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210?
Come on, baby, watch the show. Come on. I don't watch the 90210.
Tattoo.
So they're working on 90210.
Short blonde hair. She got the blonde hair, straight blonde hair, short one.
Kelly.
Isn't it Brenda?
Brenda?
Okay, so he realizes they're going down the wrong path. They're going down 90210, and that's not what the question's
right.
about.
Yeah, the question was, who's this Transformers actor
right.
who's married to the guy from 90210? So now you can forget about 90210.
I never saw any Transformers.
Brenda. I'm going to go with Brenda.
So I'm going to ask this question again.
Tries it again to help him.
What tattooed beauty from the Transformers movies is married to Brian Austin Green from Beverly Hills 90210?
Think about it.
Brenda?
Same answer.
That answer is, it's incorrect.
Incorrect?
Same answer.
It's wrong.
I told you.
The answer I was looking for is Megan Fox.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, F you. I don't know who that
She's
is. Take her
no
car
idea.
Right now. Take the car right now. It's question one. The car I goes.
And by the way, this is the thing about this show. They try really hard to let the people win. It's not like they're in there and they're trying to play games or trick them or anything like that. The questions are pretty easy. They give them plenty of time. They'll ask the question again. I mean, sometimes they even give clues. They're really doing everything they can for these people. If they can't come up with Megan Fox, it's on them.
Right. The next one is about poker. And I can understand that if you don't play poker, you don't care about the cards. But you can think about it a little bit and come to a better conclusion than they did.
In poker. A royal flush is made up of five cards of the same suit. What are the five cards?
Diamonds.
Use some logic.
Okay, so he says diamonds, which is a suit. It's 10, Jack, Queen, King. So use some logic. So now he's saying, no, keep
thinking.
Think
about it again. I'm not going to penalize
Ace.
You.
Ace.
I need five.
Come on. I'm stunned.
James, it's not the... You have to have five. The same cards.
Not the same cards.
You have to have all five kings.
There's not five.
To make a,
there's only four.
To make a...
There's only four of each. There's four kings.
How do these
four.
Two get through the day?
I don't know. I don't know. But they... First of all, she thinks there's five and you need all five of them. And it's the same card.
To go out.
Ace of spades. Ace.
So the answer you're going to go with is ace of spades.
Yes.
That answer is... It's incorrect.
Ace of spades.
Take it away.
They can't take it away.
All right, so they take the car away. And
she says they can't.
They can't. And then she turns to him and she says, you go get our car back. And so he climbs in a Mini Cooper. And as he's pulling away, he's yelling at the Repo Games guys. And they're going to supposedly stop the truck and get their car back.
Sorry, guys. Thanks for playing Repo Games.
Get the f*** out of here. I want your mother f*** out of here.
Your truck's gone, dude. You're going to chase after it in a Mini Cooper?
Not only can they take your car away, you're one of the few people who gets the opportunity to stop them.
Exactly.
Everybody else just has their car taken away. It was your lucky day and you blew it.
They didn't get Megan Fox or the cards. Look, sorry, you lose. Here's a dude, and I just wanted to play this one question, and I'll let you decide whether he got to keep his car or not. He's not the smartest guy.
What nun and Nobel Peace Prize winner worked as a missionary in Calcutta until her death in 1997?
For real?
For real what?
All the people. I'm going to say... No, Shanita.
What's that?
Shanita, yeah. That's an
aunt. That's your aunt.
Yeah.
All right, so he's saying his answer is his aunt, Shanita. That's his answer. For Mother Teresa.
Because she won the Nobel Peace Prize for helping the poor in Calcutta?
I don't know, but when he said it, he was like, yeah, this is it. Like, in his mind, that was right, and he was super happy because he nailed it. His aunt, Shanita.
God.
So the answer you want to go with is your aunt.
My aunt, yeah.
It's your aunt, yeah. All right.
I'm not very smart.
Really?
I can tell. It's cool.
No, dude. Look.
That answer is incorrect.
What was it?
The correct answer... is Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Wow.
They took the car. He didn't win his car. Because...
They're too dumb to drive.
I'm with you.
Was that a case of it's literally the only woman's name he could come up with?
Yeah, but he looked so confident that he had it right. That was the weird part.
That it would be his aunt.
Yeah, my aunt Shanita.
But wasn't there a... Didn't he think, yeah, but did she ever live in India? Yeah, but did she help the poor? Yeah, but did she win the Nobel? I mean, how does he stick with that?
No, I don't know. But my last couple that I wanted to highlight for you, and this is an amazing couple because she has an IQ of about 75. His is about 40, if you know what that means.
Okay.
Is this why you love this show so much? Because you feel so superior?
Yeah, I know answers they don't. It's the only show I've ever come across like
that. You would keep your car if they gave
maybe,
your house.
Maybe.
You'd have a shot.
So this woman somehow stumbles her way through to getting two of them right. So now she only needs a third. And the guy hasn't said anything. He's rocking back and forth. And you can tell, like, he's got mental problems.
Right.
There's no possible way he's going to be of any help. And then they come with a third question, and he starts talking.
Who was the only U.S. president born in the state of Georgia?
Peanut Farm.
I know Ford wasn't. He took over for Nixon.
Peanut Farm.
Reagan was from California, right?
Nope.
Peanut Farm.
Okay, so he's now said it three times. He's rocking back and forth. Peanut Farm. Peanut
right.
farm,
right.
peanut farm. And she's
great
completely
clue.
Ignoring him.
Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter.
Why do you think it's Jimmy Carter, Brian?
Jimmy Carter.
That answer is...
peanut farm.
Peanut farm.
Correct!
Yeah! All right!
He's
Rain Man.
They won the car.
So he didn't have a word to say.
Not one.
Until they got to the one fact that he knew.
He knew that one question.
He knew that
the
one.
Only
That's
one.
Awesome.
Wapner. Gotta watch Wapner.
Exactly.
Peanut farm.
Hey, are either of the Oasis guys still drinking, do we know, or are they sober? How are they doing?
I don't know the answer to
that. Because we need to keep an eye on them after their football team, their soccer team, won the Premier League yesterday, which has never happened since they've been born. First time in 44 years they won yesterday. So the Oasis guys, you can imagine, had quite the party. Separate parties last night.
Of course,
they're not in the same room. But both of them should be checked to make sure they're still breathing this morning. Speaking of sports this weekend, unbelievable time to be a Southern California sports fan. Even the Angels are starting to fight back. Even Albert Pujols has woken up and the Angels are starting to do a
little
something.
Has he hit a home run?
He has. He's hit a home run. He's had some RBIs.
He's
starting to come around a little bit. But, I mean, in terms of basketball in Southern California and in terms of hockey right now, there's a lot going on, a lot to be excited about.
I got a tweet from a listener that said, I'm sure you're watching the L.A. Kings feeding Coyotes and noticed the redhead behind the Arizona bench. She's a redhead hockey double D. I got to tell you, I noticed that immediately.
Of course you did.
Because when they focus in on the coach, Tippett, when they focus in on him, it's perfectly, you can see the top of a rack and the bottom of a rack. That's all you can see in the coach. And I just remember thinking, holy crap, look at that. And then every time they went back to it, I was like, wow, look at that. And then so my wife came down and she was like, you got to call your mom for Mother's Day. I was like, I'm not calling my mom. She'll give me, I was a little bit behind on the game. And I don't want an update on what's happening in the hockey game in the playoffs because they're playing Phoenix. So I had to wait until the end of the game. Then I called my mom and it was all cool. Yeah, hey, did you watch the game? Yeah.
So is your mom's a Coyotes fan. So is she trash talking you right now?
She is, and both of my brothers are, and my brother's kids, more importantly, are. They're really, really smout mouth. Just really just kind of going all over. And I'm just like, hey, listen. They said, well, I'm sure we'll see you here. And I was like, I'm going to save my trips for the finals. You know, well, so it's back and forth like that.
If they're a smout mouth in you, there's nothing you can do about that.
I didn't say that right, did I?
No, that's perfect.
Shut up, Mugs.
So how many, before we move on, how many playoff games have the Kings won in a row? Is that six now?
I'm not sure in a row, but it's 9-1. They only lost one game so far.
They've won all six games on the road.
Every single game on the road they've won, yeah.
It's incredible.
Crazy they're playing so well. So then I'm watching Lakers game seven on Saturday night, and Lakers beat Denver. And so I was thinking to myself, well, poor King of Mexico. He's got game seven on Sunday for the Clippers. And so I got up and I was watching a little bit of the Clipper game. Not much, because let's be honest, it's the Clippers. And I tweeted, Dave, I'll take $10 less on our bet right now. Because we have a bet about who will go further in the playoffs. And you know what Dave was doing when I tweeted that?
Tell me.
Sleeping.
What?
Dave, what? This is what you've been waiting for your
are
whole
you
life.
Kidding?
It's the Clippers in the playoffs.
It's a playoff game seven.
It's not my fault.
Listen, stupid NBA, don't schedule a West Coast team at 10 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday.
Yes, that's BS.
After Saturday night.
Right.
That's a long Saturday night.
But if you really care.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And I woke up in the end of the first quarter and turned on the radio as I was driving home. So it was good.
That's not what kind of fan is that? It was game seven. This is game seven.
Dude.
Yeah, game seven. They won.
They did turn out to win. No thanks to you and your support.
Oh, I was there, buddy.
You were there.
You were
I
there.
Was there.
You were not there.
I was in Memphis.
Sleeping.
In Memphis.
Oh, dear God.
Dave was dreaming about them. That's how he was supporting them.
So they won their game seven. So now they're moving on to the second round. Lakers are moving on to the second round.
What's the bet that you guys had? Is it which team goes further in the playoffs?
That's one of them. We usually bet two or three things over the
course of
the
season. Yeah, I lost pretty much all my bets to Kevin this season, but I still have who goes further in the playoffs alive, so we're running on that one.
So in round two then, if one team gets eliminated in five games and another team gets eliminated in six, let's just say as one hypothetical, that's how it'll
that's
be decided.
End,
okay, got it.
Yeah, whoever goes
first. How are you guys feeling about your respective matchups coming up? They're not easy teams to beat, especially since they've had lots of time off to wait and wait for your team to finish.
I'm a Laker fan, and I do not like the fact that they're playing Oklahoma City. And Dave's a Clipper fan, and he does not like that they're playing. Who are they playing?
San Antonio.
But I do like the fact that we have a young team, and in the weekend, we have back-to-back games, so the old San Antonio team might be a little tired, so we're going to get one. Woo!
You're going to get one win?
Yeah! We won't get swept like the Lakers will, but...
Well, how dare you,
sir? We'll get one. Yeah.
Dave, are they... Not that you would know, because you don't even watch on TV, much less go to the games, but are they playing your Clippers song at Staples Center for the Clippers yet?
You know, only never, but...
They should.
They should. We should play a song.
They probably called him and it rang and rang and rang, and Dave was, oh, I'm sleeping. They wanted to get permission to play this.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey,
nope.
All-stars, take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Blake goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey.
Nope.
Lob City.
My favorite part.
Clippers in the zone, Staples Center our home. You about to get on, Lakers be dethroned. That's right, Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout out to Clipper Darryl, DJ Dance. I see you dance. What up, Fung? Day the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
By the way, all those shout-outs were to Dave's personal friends. He knows like two or three people that are Clippers fans, and he put the shout-outs
Clippers in six.
All right. Good luck, Dave.
Keep listening. As we mentioned earlier today, this is Black Keys Week here on the world-famous K-Rock, October 5th at Staples, October 8th at the Honda Center. We've got tickets for you, and also a key that could start the Black Keys minivan right off the cover of the El Camino album. That's a great deal. We got more information for you at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win is coming up. All right, let's all be introduced together, shall we, to Suzanne Eamon. They don't mention it in the Inside Edition story that we're about to play audio for, but she wants to be the fattest woman in the world, Kevin.
What? That's her goal?
That's her goal, yes. Apparently, the one she's going after, and I assume there's a new world's fattest woman right now, but Rosalie Bradford was the big dog in this competition. She, back in 2006, she died, but she weighed over 1,200 pounds.
Oh!
And that's where Suzanne is headed. Suzanne is on her way to try to be the world's fattest woman. She currently, as you'll find out here in this story, only weighs a little over 800.
That's nothing.
Not only is she working hard on that, she's also working hard on preparing to walk down the aisle for the first time, as, yes, she is about to get married.
And by walk, you mean roll down the aisle.
Yeah, there's no way she walks anymore.
She doesn't walk far, I'll tell you that. She's mostly in a big, 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 big wheelchair. But let's meet Suzanne and see what's up with her.
Most brides try to slim down before walking down the aisle, but not this woman. She tips the scales at 800 pounds. We were there as the fabric was rolled out to make what just may be the largest wedding dress ever.
You won't believe why this seamstress is rolling out yards and yards and yards of fabric.
Okay, we have about 15 feet here, and we need 45 feet, so about three times this amount to complete her dress.
It does look like they're putting up a circus big tent or something.
Wow.
There's so much fabric just pulled out as far as the eye can see trying to wrap this woman up.
That's right. It's all to make one dress. Not just any dress. It's a wedding dress for an 800-pound bride.
I'm getting married.
Suzanne Eamon isn't the blushing bride. She's the bulging bride.
Hey!
No, come on,
you didn't.
People.
Come on, that's low-hanging fruit.
While most women lose weight for their wedding, Suzanne, a 32-year-old single mom from Phoenix, embraces her curves.
I didn't realize the first time I saw this story that she is a single mother. They don't show her kid or kids in this story.
Because he's lost in a fold.
Can you imagine your mom's 800 pounds and trying actively to get bigger?
She's going to die at 40.
Look, I didn't bring this story up because I want to make fun of this woman. I brought this story up for two reasons. One is, what's going on in her head? How can you be a mom and want to put your body through that knowing that you're not going to be around for your kids? That's what I don't understand. Well, like, that's mental illness, right?
That's point one.
And she's given up. I mean, she doesn't think there's any chance she can lose weight, so she's just going the other way.
And what's point two, Bean?
I want to make single girls out there who can't get a man feel bad. That's the most important thing.
You knew that was point two, didn't you, Kevin?
I did, yes, because that's the way Bean works. Is that woman got a husband, and if you don't have one, blah, 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 blah.
I bet he's 140 pounds, too.
Yep, he sure is.
She's preparing for her big day by eating 30,000 calories a day.
Beer Mug, how you feeling about your diet now?
Fantastic.
30,000 calories a day.
She sounds fat.
We're going to find out what one meal from her is like here in a minute.
Mountains of food soaked in butter. And get this, her fiance Parker is a chef.
Oh, he's wonderful. He loves to cook. That helps out. His food is so good.
We're with Suzanne as her sister Cassie takes her to the seamstress to get measured for her wedding dress. Just squeezing into the back seat is a workout. But first stop, the drive-thru at Carl's Jr. Sure. For a snack.
Sure. Let's imagine what she might get at Carl's Jr., shall we?
Just look at the spread she lays out when she gets to the seamstress's workshop. 3 guacamole bacon cheeseburgers, 2 orders of chili cheese fries, 9 tacos, a chocolate shake, and a large Coke.
Wow. Oh, that she's got to cut down on her caffeine. That large Coke is too much.
You've been called a vile, disgusting pig, a fat, lecherous loser. Which would you prefer I called you?
Guys, could you eat that much food in a day?
No, you'd throw up.
And that's what she eats basically for every meal.
As her $50 lunch digests, it's time to check out the swatches.
I want to go sleeveless because it's going to be summertime.
Seamstress Judy Goff measures Suzanne.
Okay, she wants to go sleep. Now, here's one thing I do know about the ladies, Lisa. Even girls in good shape are self-conscious about the upper arms, right?
Yes. Yes, they are.
You very rarely see a woman who shows those upper arms to anybody in public. You always wear sleeves, or if you're wearing something that's sleeveless, you put a little sweater on top of it. She wants to go sleeveless because it's summertime.
Now it's just, I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
What is up with that?
You know, at this point, she must sweat unbelievably.
Of course. Yeah. She's just dripping. Ugh.
Sounds to me like she's sexy and she knows it. That's what it sounds like to me. All right. A little bit more.
And brace yourself for her waist size.
107 and a half.
You heard right.
What?
107 and a half inches. That's not a waist. It's not a waist.
That's her waist size.
It's not a waist.
107 inches.
They must have accidentally measured her SUV. That can't be right.
That's 9 feet around. Suzanne tries on different veils and tiaras.
Yeah, I like that. I'm feeling like a bride.
She decides on something pretty but practical.
Or like an off-whitish, not completely white. Because if I wear completely white, I guarantee I'm going to spill something on it.
Her sister Cassie, who will be her maid of honor, is all choked up.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see her in the actual dress.
Then it's time to roll out the material and get to work on the largest wedding dress in history. Suzanne lives life large, literally, as she gets ready for her big day.
And there you go.
Was that her jumping in a pool?
Suzanne Eamon. I don't remember what that was at the end there.
They can't have had sex, right? They're never going to have sex.
I don't know how that works. It seems like, without getting into too many details, that it would be difficult to find the spot.
That's gross.
Wow.
Finally, somebody that's taking my advice, though. You need to plump up for your wedding photos.
That's yep. true.
So she's, what, 800 pounds, Bean?
Uh-huh.
She loses 200. She's still a gross, fat 600 pounds. People look at the picture and they go, you look great.
Good point. Got a Kevin and Bean listener named Sarah who joins us after the top of the hour. She has written a book called Me on TV, the first ever kick-ass guide to get you on any reality show. And by the way, I would just like to point out, not that I recommend it as a career, but look at what happens to people like who get plucked from these casting calls and end up on Jersey Shore. And the next thing you know, they're worth tens of millions of dollars. I mean, there's something to be said for getting on television these days,
and
right?
And then they're in celebrity rehab.
Well, there is that, too. So anyway, if you've ever wanted to be on a reality TV show but don't know how to make your audition stand out from the others, we have an expert coming in who's going to join us next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's out today. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. We'll start with the box office over the weekend. It's fairly insane that The Avengers, in its second weekend, made another $104 million. God. These are just ridiculous numbers that this thing is making, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Astonishing.
But I think it's all word of mouth at this point. I mean, everybody's heard that it's great. Everybody that went to see it says it's great. I mean...
Let's see. Kevin and Bean listener Paul writes in, Avengers, here's some of the other records that it broke. Fastest film to $300 million, took 9 days. The old record was 10 days for The Dark Knight. Fastest to 350. First film to have consecutive $100 million weekends. Wow, I didn't even realize that.
Wow.
The first movie ever to have 2 weekends in a row of $100 million. Best second weekend ever. The old record was Avatar at $75 million. The Avengers had over 100. Unbelievable.
Joss Whedon is a genius.
He sure is. I mean, the fact that he was able to juggle that many characters and do it so successfully is amazing. So that was obviously number one by a long shot over the weekend. Dark Shadows debuted this weekend. The new Johnny Depp film with director Tim Burton came in at number two with $28.5 million. Then Think Like
a
Man.
By the way, let me just butt in. $28.5 million is normally more than first place.
Yeah.
That's a good weekend.
Or easily first place.
Yeah.
That's crazy good.
And now we sneer.
I'm surprised they did that well with it, considering the word of mouth on that one.
That's true.
Then Think Like a Man, Hunger Games, Lucky One, 5-Year Engagement, Pirates, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Chimpanzee, and Girl in Progress rounds out your top 10 at the box office over the weekend.
I usually don't do the Broadway, but Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, really? Zooey Deschanel.
Is headed to Broadway. She's going to play country music legend Loretta Lynn.
Oh, I think she'd be great.
In, I guess it's Coal Miner's Daughter is the name of the play. And that was the name of her movie or what?
It was a movie.
That was the name of her book. That was her autobiography that they then turned into a movie. That was a big, big time movie. And now apparently they're making it into a play. Yeah.
She says Loretta Lynn is her hero and she's excited to play her on Broadway. So,
you know, Tom Hanks is going to Broadway too.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's starting rehearsals.
You mean just to see a show, Lisa?
No, he's going to be in a show on Broadway.
Oh, on a show.
You have to rehearse to watch a show, a Broadway show.
By the way, Zooey Deschanel, very talented. She could win the EGOT. She could win an Emmy and a Grammy and an Oscar and what's the other one?
Tony?
Grammy.
Tony, yeah, EGOT. EGOT, okay. Yeah. Yeah, she could win them all because she does all of those things.
It's all those things.
No.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a big week for the upfronts, what they call the upfronts. This is when the TV networks get together and they announce what shows have been canceled, what shows have been renewed, what the schedule is going to be like. I just want to mention NBC here real quick. Because, look, I'm very excited that Community is coming back for another season.
Yeah, that was big for you.
It was big for me. I mean, we certainly did our part with Community Thursdays here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're moving Community to Friday nights, which basically is their way of saying, we don't want to date you anymore, but we're going to keep you on our phone.
Yeah.
Its new lead-in is going to be Whitney. That's what's happening on Friday nights, is Whitney into Community. But I guess it shouldn't matter to me because I'll just DVR it anyway, so it doesn't really matter when it's on. But usually that is not a show of support from a network when they put you on Fridays.
That's why I was worried about Nikita on the CW, but they renewed it. Thank God.
They did renew it, yeah.
Most of the time, Friday, if it's on Friday night, that's the first step into the grave.
Right.
Exactly. They also have picked up a sitcom about a radio DJ starring Dane Cook.
Yep.
Called Next Caller.
All right.
Matthew Perry has a new show debuting on NBC. This has got to be like his fourth TV sitcom since Friends left. This one's called Go On. Anne Heche has a new NBC show called Save Me and a new comedy from Ryan Murphy, who, of course, was the creator of Glee and the American Horror Story. That one is called The New Normal. So those are just that's just NBC. They have canceled Harry's Law, which is going to make somebody's parents very sad.
Yeah, that was a terrible show.
Harry's Law? Is that what's
Harry's
her name?
Law, the Kathy Bates, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They've also canceled Are You There, Chelsea, which is good news, right?
Yeah,
Awake is gone. Now, remember Awake? That one wasn't too bad. That was about the guy who was living in two different realities.
Yeah. I liked that one.
Best Friends Forever is gone.
Never heard
Something
of it.
Called Bent is gone.
Never heard
oh,
of it.
Oh, I liked Bent.
Free Agents canceled.
Never heard of it.
Play by Club, we knew that one was gone. Sure. Prime Suspect has been canceled. And The Firm. But
oh,
they have
I like
renewed.
The Firm.
They have renewed Parks and Recreation and Up All Night. We'll take a look at some of the other networks throughout the day, but that's what's going on over in NBC land.
Sorry, Bean, I don't have the birthdays in front of me. I left that sheet.
We have many birthdays today, a huge day, including George Lucas, 68 years old today. He shouldn't make any more movies, though, right? We're all in agreement on that?
I'd say that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
Director Robert Zemeckis, fantastic filmmaker of Forrest Gump and so many other films, is 61 years old today. Lead talking head David Byrne turns 60. Actor Tim Roth from Pulp Fiction and so many other great movies is 51 today. A bunch of musician birthdays today. CeCe DeVille from the band Poison turns 50. Ian Asprey of The Cult, longtime favorite K-Rock band, also turns 50 today. Fabrice Morvan from Milli Vanilli. He showed up in the lobby during the Kevin and Bean show.
That's true.
A few years ago.
I'm ready to go on. And we were like, huh?
What?
What?
Somebody came in and said, Fab from Milli Vanilli is in the lobby. So we said, all right. So we brought him in. screenwriter, director Sofia Coppola turns 41 years old today. Actress Amber Tamblyn is 29. Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook is 28 years old today. And iCarly's Miranda Cosgrove has a birthday today. She is 19. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Thanks a lot for tuning in here to the world-famous K-Rock today. Former sports guy Matt Money Smith talks NBA playoffs and more coming up later on this hour. And the next hour, we're going to be talking to you. And apparently, I have a lot of people like me with number OCDs. Man, did I get a lot of emails when we had that brief conversation on Friday.
I'm sure it was an even number of emails.
Emails, yeah. Right? What do you do if you get an odd number of emails, Bean?
I just have to delete one.
First, though, very excited to welcome Sarah Monson into the studio. Hi, Sarah. How are you, my dear?
Hi, I'm good.
Let's put Sarah's mic on so we can all hear her.
I don't know why that's not on.
Can we put her on a different mic?
Yeah, put her on the green one. Let's try the green one. I don't know what's wrong with that.
Is this better?
Yeah, there you go.
Wait,
you go.
Way to break things, Sarah, the second you walk into the studio. Nice job.
Ralph isn't here.
Yeah.
Sarah emailed us last week, and she has a fascinating project that I think you're going to love, which is she has written a book called Me on TV, the first ever kick-ass guide to get you on any reality show. And what's your connection to reality shows, Sarah?
Well, I've been working in reality for nearly 10 years. I got my start at Blind Date and moved on to Survivor. I've cast The Bachelor. I've done wedding shows, dating shows, MTV shows, Playboy shows.
Wow.
I've done a lot.
and every time a new reality show comes along, the one thing that people say is the casting makes the show. I mean, you could have a great idea, but if you have dead contestants, the show's not going anywhere. And the contestants absolutely make it. And that must be the hardest thing in the world to be able to project out what somebody's going to be like week in, week out when you basically just met them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's also, it used to be like you would think I need to be charismatic. I need to have a great personality. I need to really wow them. Now it's either that or you need to be a gigantic a-hole.
Yeah, we like narcissistic people.
Narcissists, yeah.
I think I've heard that people actually look for people with narcissistic personality disorder sometimes.
Is that
to
right?
Actually get like specifically like do mental tests if they have it, then they're on the show.
Make sure they have it. Wow. But you can't have all of that, right? You have to have a few people to root for. Or,
oh, yeah.
Unless you're Jersey Shore, then you can have all of that. Then
it's like you're casting a movie, really, right? You want all different kinds of characters that work together.
We always say it's
work together.
Yeah, we always say it's a puzzle we're trying to piece together, and you need the villains, the heroes, the conflicts, the hotties, the quirky grandmas, the single moms. You know, you need a lot of interesting folks to put together. And for shows like The Bachelor, you need to have the love interest, but you also need to have people that will make it interesting.
Sure,
it's like they never get cast.
Meaning
but
fight.
Exactly.
People who are willing to fight. You have a black eye, you're in.
Speaking of The Bachelor, let's talk about that for a second. Now, I don't watch that show, and it's a shame your boyfriend, your radio boyfriend, Ralph Garman, isn't here today. He had to call in sick because, you know, he's obsessed with The Bachelor. Who's the chick that won it this year, won the most recent Bachelor and got selected by the guy? What's her name?
Oh, you mean Ben Flanagan's?
Yes. Who did he pin?
Courtney Robertson.
Okay.
Yeah, Courtney.
Courtney
yeah.
is a perfect example of what I want to talk about on reality TV. The best thing that happened to that show is that Courtney is on it, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody hates her. Everybody is rooting against her every single week. And we're sitting at home going, why does she get nice things? Why is she allowed to have good things happen to her when she's such a bitch? And that's what you look for. Like, were you involved in the casting of Courtney?
Not for Courtney, no. But.
Okay. So what would she have done in her audition, or what would have stuck out about her in her audition that would have let them know, hey, this is gold. You need to hire her and just hang on.
Well, have you seen what she looks like? I mean, she's gorgeous, for
right,
one.
Right.
I mean, she was clearly the most gorgeous girl on the show, and that goes a long way. Personality is 99%. You know, so are the looks, so they come together. But I think...
I'm sorry. Personality is 99%, and the looks are 99%?
Yeah, I'm not a good... I'm not a casting director.
That's almost 200%.
That seems like you're asking a lot, Sarah.
Wow. We are.
Right. So, but what do you think she did in the beginning to get, I mean, how do you think her audition went, knowing what you know about her? Like, how do you, because it seems like the natural human instinct when you show up for a job interview, which is essentially what this is you're going to try to make yourself look as good as possible. And what made her such an appealing contestant is that she's a bitch.
But did people know that? I mean, do you think they really knew going in that people would end up hating her?
I suspect they probably knew she'd be a force to contend with just because she had a personality and she had an opinion. Having an opinion and having a strong personality and hot button issues and also being that gorgeous and having other women to be in the same house as somebody, the cattiness factor will come out.
It's all built in, huh?
Yeah, it's easy.
So in other words, if you're trying to be the next girl who can, you know, woo the bachelor, mm-hmm. it behooves you to go into that audition and say, I will cut a bitch. I will do whatever it takes to win this guy, right? I don't care who stands on my way. I mean, you should really just come out and just talk like that if you want to be considered an appealing candidate, right?
Yeah, we'd like to know. We don't want to have to guess who you're going to be on the show. It's a lot. I like when you come in and kind of tell me what your type is. We say we don't typecast, but we typecast.
Of course.
We have to be able to pitch you in like 3 to 4 words. You know, well, who are you going to be on the show? Because the networks and the money men, all the higher ups, they don't really get to know you like we do. So when you say, oh, Courtney is going to be the bitch on wheels and Ashley is the good girl, or, you know, so we just, and then, oh, perfect, they'll be combustible together. Great. You know, so that's what we look for.
When you're casting for a show like Survivor, are you looking for people who are woefully unprepared to live in a harsh environment because that makes good TV to see how bad they are?
No, we actually have to put them through the casting ringer when they come in for finals. I can't really talk a lot about the finals because it's super hush-hush, but we, you know, they go through mental tests, physical tests.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah. Background checks.
So you're not looking for people. Like, for example, when we talked to Phil Kogan about The Amazing Race, mm-hmm. he said they don't necessarily pick people who travel well. That they literally try to pick people that are going to have a hard time with it.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, absolutely. But,
okay, so when you're talking about Survivor, I mean, I think that's why being asked if you're looking for people who will be have a hard time with that.
Well, yeah, like for one of the questions on the application is, are you a strong swimmer? And if you say no, but willing to learn, that's okay.
Okay,
you can learn before you get it. We love you, and you can figure it out by the time you get to the island.
Hopefully.
You know?
Now, I don't want you to give away too much for free here, but you have written a book about your experience as a casting director and helping others who would like to end up on television. You say there is a secret formula and you can have it. What can you tell us about that before we open it up for phone calls?
Well, there are every reality show casting process starts with an application and an audition video or an open call or or an in-person audition, and there are like subtle shifts and tweaks you can make with what you write down or who you stand next to in an open call.
Oh, to get people's attention.
You know,
oh,
to
I
get
see.
People's attention and how to fill out your application and certain things you can do on your video to really stand out, because we are the gatekeepers, the casting person, and it could be like an assistant or an intern that knows nothing. So you really need to wow us, and we could be watching you on a 12-inch monitor. You need to jump out at us to make us want to keep you, because we sift through thousands and thousands of tapes and videos and applications. And if you bore us for a second, you know, you could go in the no pile.
Right.
So there are just certain things that you can do. And, you know, I call it your casting chyron, which is like, know your type, you know who you are in 3 to 4 words. So you don't have to tell us. So we don't have to figure it out because we're too busy. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of little things that I talk about in the book that you can do for yourself.
I saw the No Pile last night at the Troop. They were great. Great little band. All right. We're going to take your questions. 1-800-520-1067. One of the sites that you run, is this the site you run, The Bitchlorette?
It's my blog.
The Bitchlorette.
Oh,
if you'd
I like
to
it.
Read her blog.
The Bachelorette is my favorite show. So
if you have questions about how to get on reality TV shows, you call now 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
It's an ebook called Me on TV, the first ever kick-ass guide to get you on any reality show. You can download it. Sarah, it's downloadable now. You can get today if you want. Okay, at meontvbook.com. Meontvbook.com. Sarah Monson is in our studio. She has been working in the reality TV field as a casting director for the past 10 years. And my deep research reveals you have also been a reality TV show contestant, Sarah.
Oh.
I have.
What show or shows were you on?
Funny how quietly you say that.
I was a fashion victim on How Do I Look? Where they
really?
What's How Do I?
Oh, it's a Style Network show where they tear through your closet, throw your crap away, make fun of you, and then remake you.
And you were the bad girl. You were the bad example. Nice. Yeah.
Did it help?
What do you think?
You look fine to me.
Were you happy? Were you happy with your experience on it?
Yes. I say that with hesitation, though, because in the world of reality TV, and I talk about this in my book, I always say, like, if it looks like you're going to cry on camera, you're crying on camera. Okay. So if they will just, you know, don't look off in the distance pondering something, because they'll edit you in to make you look like you're bawling your eyes out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, editing is God in reality TV.
Let's talk to Brian real quick to get the phone call started at 1-800-520-1067. If you have questions about how to get on reality TV, Sarah Monson is your girl. And Brian brings up a great question about background checks. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Hi there. I just wanted to know, I have a DUI 6 years ago and some pretty bad credit. How does that affect the possible casting? Does it exclude me because of the background checks?
Yeah, what kind of background check do they do on most shows?
They're in-depth and expensive.
So they would know his past?
We would know what you've done. Basically, the real red flags are, you know, criminal history. You know, right. DUIs, unless you're driving, if it's a driving show, you know,
sure.
You can't legally drive for liability insurance purposes. We can't put you behind a wheel.
But for most of those shows, you don't have to drive.
Exactly. You're in helicopters. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Can you fly a helicopter, Brian?
Yeah, I'm a jet pilot, too.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Brian. It does seem like, Sarah, every year there's at least one show that throws somebody off for not revealing that they had a problem with the law or something like that in the past, and they just kick them off a show, right?
Yeah, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but we may know that, and it's okay with us and our insurance companies, so we'll just let the audience
Would
find
you
that
tell
out.
Someone to go ahead and just fess up right off the top and let you guys figure it out if you want them or not?
Honesty is key, absolutely, yeah. We'll find out if you lie. We do due diligence, and especially with Google and Facebook and everything, but background checks for sure, we will find out. But if it's not a big enough red flag to keep you off of the show and we like you, we'll put you on the show, and if it lends itself to the drama of the show, even better.
Like, that guy likes to drink, so that's good.
Yeah, perfect. He's perfect.
Done.
Let's try Jessica, line 5, 1-800-520-1067. You have questions on how to get on reality television. Jessica, thank you for calling. You're on with Sarah.
Hi. I just have a question about how exactly crazy you have to be to get on the Real World, because that's been on my bucket list to do that before I die.
Did you say Real World?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've been told that the Real World is still the least unscripted show on television, which is actually pretty cool. So I think that
unscripted?
They just kind of let you do your own thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the least scripted.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes.
That's
all right. Scripted. Yes.
I'm a stickler for the English language. I apologize.
That's what we know about Kevin.
My bad.
Does she do it? How would she do it?
Even if you tone your personality down on the show, you have to go into the audition just amping up your personality to a degree where you just feel ridiculous, and because it will come across as you're pretty good, you know. So you just have to get out of your comfort zone to a point and find out who you are and have really strong opinions about hot button issues in the world, you know. And so if somebody asks you and confronts you about it, you can answer, and then hopefully they'll put somebody on the show that's your complete opposite, and you can duke it out on the show in that sense, because that's what the Real World does a lot. They
and
want
learn how to duke it out as well.
Exactly.
I mean, thank you very much for the call, Jessica. I appreciate it. I mean, it's so not reality TV. There's very little that's real about reality TV, right?
No, it's real. And you,
Sarah.
When I say scripted, you know, they let the cameras run and they get all the fodder that they need. And then, but to form it into a show, they have editors and they have people that come in and kind of make the intros and outros and what the host says and all that stuff. That's the scripted part. They don't hand Courtney and Ben a script day one at The Bachelor and be like, here's what you say. You know, they let their...
Seems like they do that on Jersey Shore.
I don't think.
Seems like there's a lot of that, no?
They put him in some pretty fake setup situations.
Yeah. Of course, them having to get a job and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's always forced. Yeah.
Sarah, in the decade plus that you've been involved in reality TV, are you surprised, as I am as a viewer, to see how they keep pushing the envelope every year for how crazy things get? I mean, it almost seems like it's almost become a parody of what reality shows were just a few years ago. Like, you know, we talk about Ralph and the reality show he did, that Joe Schmo show that he did, which was doing nothing but making fun of how insane reality shows are. A show like that, people wouldn't even think was odd anymore. It's gotten so crazy.
Yeah, no, people, it just keeps getting more, people are more hyper aware of it. And I think that a bad thing that people in my business do is they feel like they assume viewers aren't as smart as they think we are, because we'll watch shows and we know it's fake. We know it's staged. We know it's script. We know, like, yeah, they did 8 takes on that, obviously. Right. It's like, I feel that you could get back to the more organic root of reality television and just let the shows unfold more docu-style than put them in staged.
Let's squeeze in two more real quick. I'm sorry. Is it Kista?
Krista.
How about that?
If they had put an R in your name, it would have been so much easier for us to know that.
It would have.
All right. What's your question for Sarah?
I get everything, too, at Starbucks, so that's great.
Okay, good, good.
My question is, I'm going to make a video with my husband for him to be on Survivor, because every season we think he'd be great. He comes off as a total a-hole.
Sweet.
But is really sweet underneath once you get to know him. Do you think that's something Survivor casting directors would pick up on?
We would probably prefer the a-hole, and because the sweetness, you know, that can come out, but you need to stick to your story. If you're going to be the a-hole, be the a-hole. You know?
Okay.
That's my advice.
Social game, like, the audience would either love him or hate him, you know?
Right. I like that you know the audience is going to hate your husband. And you want to get him on the show. I love that. All right.
Because he could totally win it.
Okay.
You should be rethinking your choice in life is what you should.
Not worrying about reality TV,
Krista. All right. Thanks for the call. Hey, what about when that chick pooped on the stairs on Flavor of Love? What about that? Was that a moment
ever.
Or what?
That was the best
the
ever.
Best thing ever.
I
watch that for fun now.
That blew my mind.
Let's talk to Michael. He's on line 4. Sarah Monson is here again. The book is called Me on TV, the first ever kick-ass guide to get you on any reality show. The website is meontvbook.com if you want to download it. Michael, you're on.
Yeah, I just want to ask, how can I get on the show Wipeout? I mean, when I auditioned for one of those shows, it came out, all I was doing was answering their questions when they're talking to me. So I don't know, do I have to be like more of an outgoing person or like a crazy person, rip my shirt off or do something weird like that?
No, we like introverts on reality TV.
Everyone does that.
Keep everything quiet.
Absolutely. Well, I always say, like, how do I get on Wipeout? Go to the website and apply. Follow the directions to a T, but really just make a killer video or a really great application. Fill it out in, like, color pencil, not black and white pen, so you stand out on paper, and make a crazy video of you ripping your shirt off and then send it in. Or go to an open call with, like, full body paint on. You know, you can do a lot of things to really stand out.
So you got to take the wild side of whoever you are and just red bullet right up to the limit.
Absolutely. You can always tone it down on the show, but you need to go to 200%.
And that's how Survivor, I mean, that's the first culling process on Survivor is people send in their videos through their website, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
What's the hardest show to get on?
Survivor.
Is it?
Really?
I think Survivor and Amazing Race and Big Brother, the big ones. Big Brother and probably more because it's only on once a year. Survivor's on twice a year.
Right.
So that just by, it's a numbers game, you know, just by virtue of so many people applying, it's a harder show to get on.
And we're out of time, but how do you get on The Bachelor? Nick wants to know.
go to the website and apply. Wear a tux. Tuxes go so far in casting.
We really?
Casting directors are mostly women. Flirt. That is the big piece of advice. You know,
really?
For a show like that.
Absolutely. Pretend your audition is a first date and woo us enough to want us to ask you out again.
Well, I feel like we've just scratched the surface of this topic, and that's why it's great that you have written a book. Is this the first ever book of its kind, Sarah?
From the casting director's perspective of me, who's also been on reality TV as well. There are other books on there from the perspective of contestants that have made it to big shows. But yeah, this is kind of the both insider tips from both inside, behind and in front of the camera. So,
hey, be the right person, get on the right show. You could be set up for life. I mean, I know that sounds like a long shot, but let's face it. Snooki exists. She lives in our world. Me on TV.
And she has more money than all of us.
Yeah.
Let's just remember that.
Exactly. We'll ever have the rest of our lives.
Oh,
Sarah, so awesome to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Want to win the minivan on the cover of the Black Keys' El Camino album? Well, sure you do. That is the grand prize drawing after you've already won Black Keys tickets for Staples Center and Honda Center. Details at KRock.com. Your chance to win and qualify for the van coming up here.
Are they going to clean the van before they give it
away? I hope so. Okay. That thing needs to be fumigated. Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith. How are you, dude?
I am well. I love stressing syllables when you say things like fumigated.
You turn each one into a word.
That's it.
Look, what a weekend for sports. When was the last time there was this much excitement in one three-day period, Matt?
Not to mention all those guys, and we said it before, playing the same building. I mean, it's all Staples Center action that's got it going on. And obviously, you know, with the Dodgers, you have that as well. Nothing like sweeping the weekend series, for sure.
No kidding. Yeah, on top of that, and then, of course, you and I were tweeting during the Man City game yesterday, too, which was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever seen in my life. It's just insane how much great stuff is going on. Now, did you predict the Clippers and Lakers would both take these series? Are you looking good right now with your predictions?
Yes and no. I did predict they would, but I said, you know, after watching how poorly the Clippers had played, you know, in the previous couple games, that there was no way they'd win a Game 7 in that building, and sure enough, they shouldn't have. You know, I mean, they really had no business winning that game, and for some reason, the Grizzlies just kind of stopped playing ball at the start of that fourth quarter and let the bench rip them apart. But you know what? The kind of the old adage is in the NBA, if all things are equal between two teams, you go with the one that has the best player. And, you know, the Clippers have the two best players in that series, so they should have won.
Now, the next round, they play San Antonio. Let's talk about that first.
There is that whole thing.
Clippers, San Antonio. Is that going to go poorly?
I would say let's just look at these as the salad days right now.
Okay, all right.
Basketball.
Hope you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, both teams have pulled some bad, and that's what it comes down to, matchups, and both teams have really bad matchups in the second round.
I mean, so you don't see the Clippers moving past San Antonio.
I cannot see that. You know, you have Tony Parker, which, you know, to some degree, I mean, he's not as good as Chris Paul, but he's pretty damn close. I mean, if you're going to give it, you know, you're in the playoffs, you want Tim Duncan or Blake Griffin. You want Tim Duncan, you know, and on and on. And their bench is just as deep as the Clippers. It's young. It's athletic. It allows them to keep pace. The Grizzlies could have given the Spurs some trouble because the way they match up with them with some bulk up front. But as thin as the... You know, DeAndre Jordan's been the big disappointment for the Clippers.
Right.
And unless he decides to start playing up to that contract he signed, then they're going to probably get out of there pretty quick.
So the Lakers move on to round two against Oklahoma City. How's that going to go?
Isn't it? I mean, how did Oklahoma City become America's team?
I don't know.
It's wacky.
I don't know, but I can't tell you how much it hurts me personally.
That's what I mean. I mean, they ripped the team from your backyard, and they moved to freaking Oklahoma City.
They moved from Seattle. That's what
natural gas barons that run the damn thing, yet it's like America's team. It's the team everybody's pulling for. It's a bad matchup. You know, they have a lightning-quick point guard. That's bad for the Lakers. You have Kevin Durant, who has not seemed fazed in the least by Ron Artest's defense. That's bad for the Lakers. They have a long two that does nothing but play defense, and that's bad for Kobe. I mean, it's just everywhere you look, you know, you're like, damn, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad.
Yeah.
It's just a mountain of bad.
How much of a difference does it make that the Spurs and the Thunder have had, I don't know, like a week off to hang out in their jacuzzis and watch TV while these guys were going to seven-game series? I mean, really, what kind of a difference does that make at this point in the season?
It's whatever you want it to be. You know, if the Thunder win, then people say, see, rest is good. You know, it was a truncated season. Guys needed their break. You know, if they lose, it'll be, oh, the rust.
They were rested,
sat around for a week. Of course they lost. So it's whatever you want it to be. I think the guys will tell you they just assume play the games, you know, and keep on a regular schedule. But at the same time, they'll tell you everyone's beat up. You know, nobody's injured, but everyone's hurt, and it's nice to get over that. So I think, you know, it's whatever you want it to be.
What's your prediction for both series, Matt?
I you know, sadly, the wildly unpopular Matt Money Smith is going to go a San Antonio Oklahoma. I mean, an Oklahoma San Antonio. A conference final, I mean, to talk about scintillating.
I
don't see it. Put it this way, it'd be an upset. You know, if the Lakers or the Clippers get out of this, it would be a pretty darn big upset considering how the two teams played against each other in the regular season, looking at it on paper, how they've played so far in the playoffs. You know, these two teams swept. Why would you favor the Lakers or Clippers in either series? It doesn't make any sense.
And quickly, I know we're out of time, but the Kings. are playing fantastic.
Yeah, six playoff games in a row.
You could see it in the first round, you know, and I said it and we talked about it repeatedly. They're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Whether or not they'll beat the Rangers, and I think the Rangers will end up there.
You think they'll beat New Jersey, yeah?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, Jersey got out of that series, and Philly, for some reason, just got flat. Yeah. The Rangers, you know, and you know what? That'll be a great final because it'll be the two best goalies in the league, and Lundqvist and
yep.
And Quickie, and who knows? You know, and we saw it last night because, look, Mike Smith, for Phoenix, just to throw a million names out at people that are like, who, huh, what's going on?
Yeah, he's their goalie.
Mike Smith has been the best goalie. He's been even better than Jonathan Quick, as good as Quickie has been so far in the playoffs. So to really put that on him, he's a young goalie. That's kind of a nice seed of doubt to plant for the Kings by winning game one and winning it on the road and at least getting one soft one on Smith there.
He didn't even touch that final goal. What a pussy.
No, I mean,
what a terrible goalie.
He wasn't even in the shot. I'm watching the TV. I'm like, where's the guy at? He ran away. He quit.
Listen, they are clamping down on us inexplicably on KROQ.com, so we can't post the photo we want to of the hot redhead who's sitting behind the coach for Phoenix in yesterday's game. But do yourself a favor and Google. Just Google kidding. Hot redhead at the Coyotes game, and you'll thank us for it.
I tweeted it as well. That's why he missed that shot from mid-ice.
Yes, exactly. He's looking at her.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to fit all of this in on the P&M show today here, but, man, you guys got a lot to talk about this afternoon, Money. Thanks for carving out some time for us this morning, too.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Ralph is out today. We're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. We're going to start with a giveaway. Lisa, you're going to be very excited when I tell you that American Idiot, Tony Award-winning American Idiot, is coming to Costa Mesa, the Cedarstrom Center for the Arts in Costa Mesa. Now, you saw this show, right?
I did.
And it rules hard?
It's really fun. It's great. And if you love the music, that puts it right over the top.
Is ruling hard good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just check it.
Just 6 days, May 29th through June 3rd in Costa Mesa. If you want tickets, we have them free for you here at the World Famous K-Rock. Callers 10, 11, and 12. You win at 1-800-520-1067. You will see American Idiot on stage. You can buy your tickets at scfta.org.
Pretty
I'm
sweet.
Sure you've memorized that.
Yeah, sure. The big story of the weekend is a movie that made over $100 million in its second weekend.
Damn.
First time that's ever happened. The Avengers. Over $100 million in its second week. How crazy is that?
It's unbelievable.
And there are people like Lisa who still want to see it and haven't gone yet. So there's still money out there for this film to make.
Dark Shadows came in number two with a very respectable, and I think they probably were thrilled with $28 million.
I do too.
But when another movie makes $100 in its second weekend, you're screwed. It's like you get killed on a day as a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the celebrity gets all the attention and plus some local guy. That's what's happening with Johnny Depp's Dark Shadows. Let's see. Number three is... Why do I have
Are you
six?
Channeling these from a psychic or what's happening? Or are you reading them off a page in front of you?
Oh, Think Like a Man. Then The Hunger Games, then The Lucky One, then 5-Year Engagement, then Pirates Band of Misfits, then The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which Lisa spent a weekend telling us about earlier today.
Really enjoyed.
Chimpanzee and Girl in Progress is number 10.
What the hell is Chimpanzee, by the way?
It's the Disney movie about chimpanzees.
It's a movie about chimpanzees. Thanks, Lisa.
What a weird title. John Travolta update. Now there is guy number three and guy number four claiming that Mr. Travolta made inappropriate sexual advances to these male masseurs. Of course, Travolta's lawyers are still denying it, saying these claims are ridiculous. How many guys are going to end up showing up for this, I wonder? Lisa, you joked earlier that it's going to end up being a class action lawsuit. Is it going to be like one in every four people in America is involved in suing John Travolta? What's happening
He's
here?
Very busy.
I think I remember this happening to me.
Wait, no, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
Cruise ship worker Fabian Zanzi told a Chilean TV show that Travolta offered him $12,000 to have sex with him while on a cruise in 2009. Now, here's my question about this. And Kevin, you brought up an excellent point. We don't pretend to know what's true and what's not true. A lot of times people will just, you know, they'll make noise because they feel like there's a payoff because the person involved is famous and rich and doesn't want to go to trial, right?
Yeah, they see money and they see a settlement. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Fabian, if this happened to you in 2009 and then you told your supervisor and they said, no, you go to your cabin and then they later fired you, why didn't you bring it up then and sue somebody then for it happening? Because it seems like you had a real bad time with what went on with this alleged incident, right? Why do you wait until now when you're guy three in this lawsuit?
That doesn't make me question him that much, because I think that's a big deal to try to sue John Travolta.
Maybe, but...
And people don't believe
but
you.
But he got fired. He doesn't even have to sue, you know, talk right. about... He can talk about his company firing him.
He right? can sue the cruise ship and say, yeah. look, I went because of something that happened to me that's improper, and they fired me for it and sided with this famous rich guest. Seems like it would have made news back then. It's just weird that a guy like this lays low until now. You know what I mean? Then a Peninsula Hotel, which I think may be in Florida, an employee there named Michael Caputo tells the New York Daily News over the weekend that Travolta was placed on the hotel and spa's blacklist for over 3 years
he
because of inappropriate...
Black, first of all.
No. The blacklist meaning he wasn't allowed to come there because of inappropriate behavior around the spa staff, that he had requested guys for his massage and then would always remove his towel, grinding against the massage table and lifting his butt in the air. It got to the point where they couldn't find any men to take him as a client, and they had to ban him. So it's not good news. Marty Singer, the attorney for John Travolta, says these new claims, just like the first claims, are ridiculous, and the two men are just hopping on the bandwagon to try to get some free publicity. There's no chance in a billion years this ends up going to trial, right? This is a payoff that we never hear about, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably is what happens. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. It's going to be a payoff because that's the way it always works. It's unfortunate. The death of Whitney Houston.
I was against that.
It's over. I mean, she's dead, but it doesn't happen if it doesn't happen on TV. So her daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, will star in the Houston Family Chronicles along with Whitney's mother, Sissy, and other family members. Lifetime is calling it a documentary series that follows the Houston clan as they deal with her death and get on with their own lives.
But we don't care about any of them.
Doesn't that?
We only care about Whitney and Bobby.
Would you do that on TV?
I don't. That's what I was just going to say. Doesn't that strike you as wrong on every level? Hey, we're hurting here because Whitney's gone, so bring the cameras!
Let's make it a TV show.
It just doesn't make any sense, that's what they're talking about doing.
And it also doesn't sound like a good program either, on top of it. I don't mind other people being, you know, miserable if I enjoy it. I just don't see anything in there for me to enjoy. So I don't get it. All right. A million celebrity birthdays today. Let me just pick out, say, the top five here. Let's choose the five most talented people on this long, long list. Well, you got to give it to George Lucas. He's got to be number one. One of the most successful filmmakers of all time. George Lucas turns 68 today.
All I know is George Lucas raped my childhood.
I understand that. I understand that as well. You got to go with Facebook creator and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who's a multi-billionaire at 28 years old, right?
Yep.
I think I might throw Oscar winner Cate Blanchett on that list. She is 43. I think I might throw David Byrne, leader of the Talking Heads, on that list. And then for the last slot of the five most influential people born on this day, it's your choice. You can either have iCarly or you can have Fab from Milli Vanilli. Your choice.
Ooh,
either one.
That's a tough one.
Both celebrating their birthdays today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. So it sounds like last Friday when the topic came up about what you claimed was my OCD having to do with numbers, it sounded like you were trying to paint it out that I was the freak and that you guys were all normal. And in reality, it's the other way around. It turns out you guys are the freaks for not paying attention to your numbers, and I have lots of support from the listeners
right
on my side.
Support does not mean that it's normal or right.
We were not saying that it was only you, Bean.
Right.
It doesn't make it right because other people sent you emails saying, I'm effed up too.
No, but it does make it normal if the vast majority of people are like me and you're in the minority.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
We got this from Bean, I believe, said the sentence that I've never heard before. Well, nobody likes ugly numbers.
They make him feel icky.
Yeah.
They make me feel icky.
No way.
Yes.
It's not normal.
So I wrote down on my little pad of paper, ugly numbers, question mark? What does that mean?
We were having a discussion about, how did it even come up, by the way, that we were talking about pumping gas?
Yeah,
right?
I think somebody called with that one. I don't remember. But
we were talking about pumping gas, and we were talking about if you were pumping gas, if you weren't listening, here's the brief recap. You're pumping gas, and the pump stops, and it's at 22:34. You don't just pull the pump out and pay and go on your way.
Let me just stop you right there. Yes, you do.
No, because then you're driving away with 22:34 on the pump. What you want to do is you want to just squeeze a little bit more gas in there and take it up to, 24:40, better still, 24:50. That's what you want to do.
Why,
and then you feel
that?
Good about it.
Why do you feel good about that?
Because then it's so fresh and so clean, and you get in your little car and you just drive away and you feel like all is right in the world. You feel like you've buttoned it up.
What is
I don't have to button up the price of my gas.
I don't understand that.
It's not unbuttoned to begin with. It's whatever it is.
Dear Bean, I feel compelled to write in because I realize we share a special bond. I, too, cannot pump gas without stopping on a whole dollar amount. I'm not sure why. It's something I've done for as long as I can remember. If I don't think I can make it to the next dollar amount because, for example, I was at 21.14 and tried to make it to 22 but accidentally passed that to 22.01, I will, as a last resort, stop at the next 50 point like 22.50. There's something comforting about the whole dollar amount. Like you said on the show, every time an uneven dollar amount of gas is pumped, an angel cries. I didn't say that, but I wish I had.
I want all of you that agree with Bean to realize that you agree with Bean.
Right.
I just want you to realize
you've
that.
Got
that
an
was
issue.
From Peter.
And that should make you doubt yourself.
Thomas writes in, Bean, I fully agree with you. The gas pump has to end in an even dollar amount. There have been times that I've gone over by a cent, and I'll have to get it to another 99 cents in just to make it even. Tell Ralph and Kevin to suck it. That comes from Tom. Bean, this is Peter from Fullerton. I do the exact same thing at the gas pump. Anything else would be uncivilized. It just goes on
even
and on.
Even with
and
a credit card, though. This is not about change or anything else. Even with a credit card.
When it makes zero difference.
You don't feel like life is in balance unless you land on a 50 cent or a dollar?
It doesn't matter what I feel like. It's what it is. It's what the reality of the situation is.
Right. That's what I mean, what you feel like.
Then we started to get other emails that weren't about the gas. We got a couple on this topic, for instance. I'm with you on the gas, and I also do it when I'm listening to the radio. The volume on my radio has to end in either a 5 or a 0. I don't know why. It just has to. That's from Laurelin.
What?
And by the way, we got several of those from people who say that they only adjust the radio volume in certain amounts. Then we got to people, and this is something we didn't have a chance to talk about on Friday. I told you guys something off the air that I then got a ton of emails from people on the air, which is people who round their tips amounts to even numbers at a restaurant.
Which is rude beyond words.
Yes.
That's
because you're giving
rude.
The server an uneven amount. So you're giving them change.
If you get something for $12 and you want to make it $15, but that's not quite the tip amount or whatever, it's $12.60 or something. So you put $2.40 of a tip on there to make it $15?
Of course. Obviously.
Okay, so then the server gets $2.40 as a tip?
Obviously.
Just so you can feel good about it being a round number?
Now, this is important. This is an important distinction. I never shortchange the server. If anything else, she gets additional money in order for me to round it up.
She gets a whole extra 40 cents? That's
perhaps.
Awesome.
But I'm saying I don't
go
cheat her.
15%. Okay, fine.
I don't cheat her.
That's
but
valid.
She does get more. But I want my final bill for that meal to be $11 or $16 or $28 or whatever it is, and I'll adjust the tip so that that amount comes out to an even dollar amount.
Here's what I think the difference is. I have a life.
I have a life,
and
too,
but
I'm spending it on important things while
yes,
you're just
you
going
are.
All willy-nilly, just letting
you're
your numbers
spending
fly
it on
where they may.
Things. I filled up my car over the weekend, Bean. This is going to drive you crazy. I just put the little automatic thing on. I just let it go till it clicked, and then I took it out and put it in and drove home.
But how did you zip up your life?
I was my life was buttoned up, and it was zipped up or whatever it needed to be. I was perfectly fine.
So are you saying you don't have OCD or Asperger's?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Just because other people have OCD doesn't make you in the right, Bean.
I am saying that you are a savage, you're uncivilized, and you shouldn't be allowed out with the regular population. Look,
just because there are other serial killers out there doesn't mean you can't go kill people and go, hey, there's other ones.
Let's talk
people
to Christine.
People eat their hair. That doesn't make it all
That's
right.
That's correct.
Let's talk to Christine online, too, and here's what we want to do. We want to hear from people who are doing it right. We want to hear from people who have a number
system.
And by
doing it right, you mean obsessed with numbers, which means special needs.
You've got a number system in place that keeps the universe in order. You don't just throw numbers around willy-nilly without concern or care like Lisa and Kevin do. We want to hear from you if you've got a system, whether it involves your alarm clock, the volume on your radio in your car, your bank account, whatever it is. 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear what you're doing with the numbers, and let's take Christine real quick before the break.
All right, Christine, hi.
Hi. So I have a number thing with my savings account.
With your savings account.
Yeah, so interest goes in. It could be like 34 cents. It literally will drive me crazy. I can't even round to the next dollar. I have to round to the next $50, $25,
okay, or whatever. Wait, wait,
do you
wait,
hear
wait,
that,
wait.
Bean? It drives her crazy.
Okay, wait. Let me just see if I get this straight. So you're saying if your money in your savings account earns interest, you notice that it's 34 cents. You have to add money to your account to make sure that it's even?
Yeah, and I used to work at a bank as a teller, and my friends knew this. So my other teller friends, what they did for about a month is they would get their change,
deposit it to my savings account.
Of course.
And I didn't know at all.
Of course.
I was losing my mind like about two times a week.
See, this, I don't know, call me crazy. This doesn't seem healthy.
It isn't
being adjusted to me.
Christine, well, let me ask you a question, because yeah. Bean's trying to make it sound like, oh, we're right, everybody else is wrong. You know you're crazy, right?
I know it's a weird thing that I do have, but I mean, I went to school for accounting.
I'm going
to
restate the question. You know that you are crazy, right?
There's something wrong that bothers you. Okay. You know, my friend that hates the word moist can't get up unless the clock, I think it's either a 02 or 03. The number has to end in a 2.
Well, like, I have a thing like that, too, where I know my snooze goes off for 9 minutes.
Right.
So I have to set my alarm for 16, so I know I can get up by 6:25.
Cuckoo.
Because I snooze once.
Just like my friend.
I'm with Christine. I think she's doing the right thing. I think she's only the sane one in this conversation. Yeah. Thank you, Christine. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
All right. What are you doing with your numbers? What kind of systems do you have in place? Because it's important. And these people on the show with me need to learn a little something here today. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next right after this on the Kevin.
All right. We're talking to crazy people on today's Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ at 23 minutes after 8. I just want to hear you say. I just want to.
There's nothing crazy about it. It's the way to go.
I just want to hear you admit that perhaps it's a little weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it makes sense.
You don't think it's weird at all.
Forbidden Kitten writes into the Kevin Bean Twitter account. If Bean is weird, then I'm crazy. Bank accounts, radio, gas, homework, everything needs to be odd numbers.
Yeah, she's crazy, by the way.
Tom writes in, I hate this topic you guys are doing because you're making fun of exactly what I do. I do even numbers at the pump. My radio has to have the volume on an even number. I make my tips out so the dollar amount is even. Tom, a recently depressed from the topic listener. It's the first time we've ever heard that. All right, let's take some more calls.
Is this
1-800
OCD?
I don't know. I don't have OCD, by the way, so I don't know anything
about
OCD.
Please,
you're just saying that. I don't even believe
that. I don't have OCD.
I don't think you believe it either.
I don't.
It's OCD.
Have something.
It's the same people that have to wash their hands 3 times, or they have to lock the door 5 times before they go to bed, or they can't step on the cracks in the sidewalk. It's all the same.
I don't step on the cracks
in
the sidewalk either.
See, it's all OCD.
But that doesn't mean I'm OCD.
Of course
it just means
it
I don't
does.
Step on the. I don't look. I don't know about you. I don't want to break my mother's back. Okay, maybe you don't care about stuff like that.
God.
I do. Let's talk to Priscilla. She's on line 2. She's got a new one here at 1-800-520-1067. Priscilla, we're talking about people who, you know, unlike the people in this room, they know what to do with a number.
Well, I have a thing about the number 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my favorite number since I was a kid. And everything has to equal a 9. So I do everything in 9s. My gas thing has to equal a 9. I wake up.
The total
has to equal a 9. It's not the last one.
Okay.
Everything has to equal a 9.
So you get up at 6:30 because of 6 and 3.
Okay. Or 7:02 or 7:20 or 6:39.
Wow.
But it has to
Bean,
equal
she's
a 9.
Even crazy for you.
Hold on, I think I'm falling in love. Don't cut her off. Go on, Priscilla.
Well, so it was my favorite number since I was a kid, and then as I got older, I found out that 9 is the number of completion and before another cycle starts.
Right.
And that it's some sort of magical number, and so I do everything.
Did you have 9. A favorite number as a kid?
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh, okay. All right. You hadn't mentioned that 3 times.
There you go. All right.
Thank you very much for the call, Priscilla.
Okay.
Needs to get herself the White Album by the Beatles and just do nothing but listen to number 9, number 9, number 9. All right, let's try Matthew. He's on line 4. I don't think we've talked about temperature yet. We haven't talked about what's on the thermometer, but I think that's what Matthew's got for us on line 4.
Hey, Matthew.
How you doing, guys?
Tell us your craziness.
Hello, Lisa May, by the way.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello. I'm actually in my car right now. The thermostat has to be set to an even number. I have like a digital readout in my car. So right now it's at 68.
I see. So you would have to go from 68 to 70.
Correct.
Or 72 or 66. It has to be even.
Correct.
Okay.
It cannot be odd.
Are you aware that that's a little weird?
I get some flack for it from my wife.
No, but I'm saying, are you aware yourself? Are you aware within yourself that 68 and 69 are relatively the same thing?
I cannot tell the difference. I just like the way it looks.
Okay, all right.
What do you think that's about? Like, why do you think you developed that way?
I don't know, and it doesn't pop up in that many other places. Like, I do the gas thing, I'll admit, but I don't do the tip thing. I don't do anything with my alarm clock. It's kind of just
this. Sounds to me like you got a lot of work to do. Sounds to me like you got some things to look into.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
That's a good question. You. Thank you, Matthew. We appreciate the call. Hey, let's talk to Kelly. Kelly is a special ed teacher and is going to diagnose us, I think.
Uh-oh. Kelly?
Yes?
First of all, do you have this number thing?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right. What do you make of it? What's going on?
Well, I'm a special ed teacher. I work with autistic kids on a daily basis, and I've come to find out that the normal people, quote-unquote, that I work with and other people that I encounter in my life have this number thing, and it kind of creates, like, a balance in people's lives. And with autistic kids, you know, kids that are actual special needs, like you guys were talking about before,
right,
they have no problem leaving things completely uneven with numbers.
So what you're saying is if I have a lot of these numbers things that we're describing, I'm the normal one.
I believe so.
Exactly. That's Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No,
Kelly.
I reject that totally.
But Kelly has the same thing that you have.
Of course. She's just justifying her behavior.
Bean, that's like you diagnosing yourself and saying you're fine, what you're doing.
I'm completely normal. Thank you, Kelly. I agree with your diagnosis 100%, and you are a professional. All right. Let's try Cheryl now. Cheryl is on line 5, and she actually has OCD. I assume she has been diagnosed with this. Is that right, Cheryl? The doctor told you have OCD?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And how does that manifest itself for you in terms of numbers?
Well, and I have a lot of things with numbers. Like, I can't get out of bed unless it's a 5 or a 0.
Right.
I'll keep laying in bed. The same thing with the gas pumps. I'll put in cash most of the time because then I know it's an even number.
Oh, so you'll give them $30 or whatever, and then you know it's an even number, and that's all you can put in.
Exactly. Because even if you use a card, they end up adding a surcharge to that. And so you have to think about, well, what's it going to be once I have the surcharge in?
Surcharge? Bean, you never thought of the surcharge.
Because I don't see that.
You've been doing it wrong all along.
No, I only see the numbers on the pump. I don't see what's on the statement.
She knows about the surcharge.
It does. It comes up on your card, and so you have to think about that, too. And so because I have OCD, the difference is that it has to do with compulsions and obsessive thoughts. And so if you have these obsessive thoughts about what you're doing and that something bad is going to happen if you don't do this, then that's the difference between just having, you know, a habit. So it's just a habit to go even numbers, or having an obsessive compulsive disorder.
So Cheryl, you've been diagnosed with OCD.
Yes.
You've been listening to Bean describe his number thing.
Yes.
What do you think?
I mean, it sounds like it could be a symptom of OCD because he says he feels gross if he doesn't do it that way.
Right.
If I'm uncomfortable if I get up at a time that is not right in my head.
Yeah. Nobody wants to feel icky. But I will tell you, I spoke with a special ed teacher once who told me that I was one of the normal ones.
Please, the last caller is because she had to say
that. I'm going with that. All right, Cheryl, thanks for the call. So we'll leave it there. So start getting on the stick with your numbers, you guys.
Okay.
Quit being so sloppy.
Is that what the message is? Lisa and I need to start. All right.
All right, let's do it.
What's up, K-Rock? Listen.
By the way, looking ahead, later this week on The Kevin and Bean Show, Sacha Baron Cohen and Anna Faris, both from the film The Dictator, opening up this week, are going to be joining us. Adam Carolla on the show, Brad Williams, Kathy Griffin will be here, and so much more. And, of course, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us every Monday at this time. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great to talk to you, as always. Enjoying very much all the various TMZ TV shows. How are you going to handle this Tyson Beckford sex tape? Have you seen any of it yet? Do you have any stills to throw up?
Mike Walters has seen something. I haven't personally. But, I mean, what's interesting about it, look, he was, he's acknowledging this, that basically he was pleasuring himself during this internet video chat with some female model. But I mean, and what's interesting is he's saying that he's saying that it's no big deal. He says everybody does this, and he also said on this tape he's telling this model that one of his pet peeves was being mistaken for Tyrese.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
That is funny.
I'm not being funny here. I don't know which one is which one. Which one's the guy in the Transformers movie?
Tyrese.
That's Tyrese, I think.
That's Tyrese? Yeah. All right. And Tyson is more famous as a model than as an actor, right?
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I don't know how they shop this without his permission. So you just never know whether people are in on it or not. But it's just become so kind of standard, you know?
Well, what's the market? I mean, I guess he's hunky and hot and he has a lot of female fans. There are a lot of women who would like to see him touching himself, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, look.
It's not the same as a sex tape where there's two partners.
Well, it also, you know, it's also publicity, too. I mean, it's weird. I mean, look, it didn't hurt Kim Kardashian any.
No.
Actually made her.
Now, we don't know the answer to this yet, I guess, Harvey, but I'd be curious to know is, did somebody hack into that private conversation between him and this woman and figure out some way to tape it? Or did the girl tape it while she was doing it with him? Did she record it?
She may have. I mean, he was talking about his credits, his movie credits, so I don't know whether she did or didn't, but somehow this is making its way around.
She was talking about his movie credits?
Yeah.
That is the worst sex tape ever.
Wow. Yeah. You know what I like about me? I like
it. It was like 45 minutes long, and he was talking about some of his roles.
Wow. I wonder how Tyson lines up these chicks. Does he just get on chat roulette until somebody recognizes him and then says, all right, it's on?
I don't know.
It's weird. All right, while we're in the sexy celebrity category, let's talk about Kevin almost threw up earlier when we were talking about the Queen. Why is the Queen on TMZ making a rare appearance, Harvey?
Because of her panties.
See? That's a good band name, by the way, the Queen's Panties. But
who?
Well, there's a guy named Baron Joseph de Bisque Dobrani or something like that.
Okay.
And he had some connection with the estate. He was trying to auction off a pair of the royal panties for this British auction house. But the problem is it wasn't publicized enough. And they were concerned that maybe the royal family was upset, so the auction house didn't publicize it as much as this guy wanted it to. So basically, he's pulled it. It's going to be on eBay for this limited 10-day run, and right now you could get it with a starting price is $3,999. So far, no offers. I think it's hilarious.
Are they warm?
I don't know.
Come on, you got to ask. I mean,
the thing is, can you imagine?
They're just full of dust.
What if there's a skid mark?
Oh,
Harvey, why would you do that to Her Majesty? Oh. Come on. Look,
stop calling it Her Majesty.
That's what you call her.
She's an old bitch.
But here's the thing. If there was a skid mark, it would probably be more valuable.
Harvey!
Of course.
Let's go 5,500, anybody.
I hope there's a skid mark and I can clone her. That would be the best.
I want these
panties to be from when she was 25 and hot, not when she's 85 and dust. It's got to be one of the strangest items that's ever been. Hey, and by the way, Harvey, eBay doesn't let you put stuff on if they have any reasonable expectation that it's been stolen. I can't imagine that he came across these legitimately.
I do not think this is stolen. I think somehow he had possession of this.
She's a whore and she came over to get some one night. And he kept the panties. Have you seen my panties? No, I haven't, Your Majesty.
Just a souvenir from banging the Queen. Oh, Harvey, that is one of the strangest things you've ever put up on the site, I gotta tell you. Check out all of the various TMZ shows, including, of course, TMZ Live at 3 p.m. on Fox Channel 11, and then check your local listings. I think, what are you, at 6 p.m., and then at just after noon, and then at 4 in the morning? I don't know. You're on all the time on Channel 11 as well. And, of course, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of records. So great to catch up with you, Harvey. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to hook you up with Black Keys tickets, one of the great live bands on the road today. Playing Staples Center October 5th, Honda Center October 8th. By the way, are we giving away tickets for something that's happening in October right now?
I believe so, yes.
Are we fast-forwarding through the summer? We can't wait to get to fall.
People's lives are busy. We have to plan ahead.
Listen all week to score your tickets, and you get a key that could start the Black Keys minivan right off of the album cover of El Camino, which is... This vehicle has been trashed. You won't be able to get rid of this thing fast enough.
Is this
when
good?
You get it into your house. I mean, I guess
is
it's
a good prize?
Memorabilia, it's a good prize. It's kind of famous. Yeah. I mean, it's on the album cover for the Black Keys.
If you like the Black Keys, I'm sure.
But what would you do with it besides burn it to the ground?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Your chance to win all that coming up in a few minutes. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. In for Ralph. He's going to be so sad to not be here to talk about the Avengers. He loves the Avengers so, and apparently so does the rest of the world. It's made over $1 billion now.
That's all?
The Avengers.
I went again yesterday. This is my second time.
Did you like it just as much?
Yeah.
Very few movies have made over $1 billion. The Avengers is the latest to join that list. It's made, it made $104 million just in North America over this past weekend. That's its second weekend, and it broke $100 million. The first film ever to do that. unbelievable. $104 million box office over the weekend for The Avengers. Dark Shadows, which had a fairly strong opening at $28.5 million, was a distant number two. Then Think Like a Man, The Hunger Games, The Lucky One, The Five-Year Engagement, Pirates, exclamation point, Band of Misfits, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Chimpanzee, and Girl in Progress. That's your top ten.
Those last three or four aren't movies. John Travolta back in the news. This story continues to get worse and worse for him, if you believe the people that are making the allegations. Travolta's lawyer is calling any claims that he has made inappropriate sexual advances to male masseurs ridiculous. A third and fourth man have signed on for this potential lawsuit. Cruise ship worker Fabian Zanzi told Chilean TV that Travolta offered him $12,000 to have sex with him while on a cruise in 2009.
That sounds very generous, by the way. It's a pretty good deal.
I would think, right?
I heard a joke about that. That doesn't sound like a price. It sounds like a negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this guy went to his superior and said, hey, he just... his superior put him in his cabin and then fired him.
It's hard to imagine you wouldn't just take that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
$12,000?
For that guy who's working on a cruise ship?
Yeah, but if you're not gay, it makes a big difference. It's not like having sex with a woman.
I guess.
No, trust me.
His name is Fabian, and he's working as a masseur on a cruise ship. That's gay, Kevin.
I didn't think about that. And a former Peninsula Hotel employee has told the New York Daily News over the weekend that Travolta was placed on the hotel spa's blacklist for over 3 years because of, quote, inappropriate behavior around the spa staff, requesting for a male masseuse and then removing his towel and grinding against the massage table. Is that a move? Is the grinding against the massage table a move?
My dog does.
Woo! Look at this. Yay! You like this? The table likes it. Woo!
We've heard about four instances that may or may not be true of John Travolta exhibiting this kind of behavior. These are the ones we've heard about. It probably has worked hundreds of times, right?
I would think so.
I mean, it could have. We don't know.
Absolutely.
That's a move that probably works, especially if you're throwing around $12,000, especially if you're also very famous. I would imagine that mostly works.
I'm going to try it next time I'm getting a massage with the hump and the table thing.
Good idea.
You like this? Yeah. You could be the table if you play your cards right.
Did that work, Lisa?
God, no.
No.
We were too busy talking about the Queen's underwear when we had Harvey Levin on a few minutes ago to talk about this story. But TMZ is reporting that Pauly D from Jersey Shore is entering the liquor business and that he could be set up for the rest of his life with this new venture that he is now a part of. He's got his own ready-to-drink cocktail called Remix. It's a series of vodka-based drinks in various flavors. And by the way, just stop for a second and think about what it must be like to try to get into the alcohol beverage business right now.
No kidding.
I mean, think about how much competition there is and how tough it would be to get to be able to create a product that stands out. I mean, it helps being a celebrity. Jay-Z has that very popular vodka that he sells. I mean, there is a way to do it. Pauly's drink is meant to target the pre-game market. This is the drink that you have before you go out for the evening. So he's got the shirt before the shirt.
Sure.
Now apparently he's got the drink before the drink.
Sure.
TMZ says their sources say that Pauly D's business partner is none other than a guy named David Canbar, who is the co-founder of Skinny Girl Cocktails, which is a huge business, by the way, that sold for $120 million recently. Some experts predict that Pauly D's new liquor is going to be even bigger than that.
No, don't say that.
He could make hundreds of millions of dollars off of this.
But don't say that.
I had a Skinny Girl cocktail.
Really?
They have the margarita.
Yeah.
Is it good? Terrible.
Good.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
It's enormously popular. Crazy popular. I mean, look, it's funny. We had just today, we had the lady in who wrote the book about how to get on reality TV. I mean, Pauly D was a nobody. He was just a Guido in New Jersey. Now he's making millions of dollars off the TV show and maybe hundreds of million dollars off of this liquor just based on acing a casting call.
Damn.
That hurts. That's painful. That's painful.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to respond to that. Celebrity birthdays. Movie producer George Lucas is 68 years old today. Musician David Byrne is 60. Tim Roth is having a birthday. CC DeVille of Poison is having a birthday. Ian Astbury of The Cult. Fab from Milli Vanilli. Woo!
46. He's the one who didn't commit suicide, the one who's still with us.
The bassist for Alice in Chains, Mike Inez, is having a birthday. Kate Blanchett is having a birthday. Sofia Coppola. Bassist Hunter Bergen of AFI. Amber Tamblyn is having a birthday. Miranda Cosgrove is having a birthday. She's iCarly. She's 19.
Okay.
And Facebook creator and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, now worth...
billions.
Hundreds.
Almost as much as Pauly D.
All of the money in the world is having a birthday today as well, and that is the show.
Look, I don't want to go off on a tangent here because I know we got to do the showbiz beat, but there's no reason for anyone to ever tweet about their poop, right? We can all agree on that.
Yes, I think we can agree on that.
Okay.
Depends. So, how funny was it?
I don't know. Dave tweeted that his poop looked like a Keith Haring painting. Now, what's the point of that? What am I supposed to – what's my takeaway on that?
I don't know who that is.
First, I have to look up Keith Haring.
Right. And then –
or Haring, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't sound funny to me.
I could do without that one.
Okay. All right, because I'm kind of with you guys on that. I don't think there's any kind of poop tweet that is going to work for me. I just think that is officially too much information.
Although that sounds like a challenge Bean is putting out to all of his followers.
Directly to Bean, please.
Right. Only to Bean.
No. And you totally will recognize Keith Haring if you look him up. You've seen his stuff a bunch. But all right, on to the showbiz we go. We haven't mentioned this today, but The Avengers is popular. It seems like people like this. Here's what I thought. Comic book, geek movie, this thing will be lucky to clear 10 million, right? How about a billion? How about over $1 billion is what the box office passed on Sunday, which is...
Was this in the news?
Yes, apparently it's the most anticipated film of 2012. And The Avengers, in its second weekend, kids, its second weekend made $104 million. It's the first film in Hollywood history to ever make $100 million in its second weekend. Just insane.
That's
Dark
crazy.
It is crazy. Dark Shadows came in at number two with a very respectable $28.5 million. Although I do get the sense on this one that people are growing a little bit tired of what Tim Burton movies kind of look like. You know what I mean? Like too many of them and not enough of them are great.
Yeah, I can
you
see
get that.
That
feeling too?
I can see that.
Think Like a Man, the Steve Harvey film, number three. Hunger Games at four. The Lucky One, number five. Then 5 Year Engagement, Pirates, exclamation point, Band of Misfits, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Chimpanzee, and Girl in Progress. That's your top 10. So once again, The Avengers made so much more than every other film in release combined.
That's crazy. The death of Whitney Houston is spawning a reality show. This is great news. What do you want to do when you're the daughter of Whitney Houston and you're grieving over your mom's death? Bring cameras in.
I would
in.
Think you would go away from the public
no.
for a long time and deal with it privately.
No.
You don't know anything about grieving.
You bring in cameras. Bobby Christina Brown will star in the Houston Family Chronicles along with Whitney's mother, Cece.
How are they not naming this Houston We Have a Problem? How are they missing that opportunity?
I don't think they're looking for comedy, although they should.
Yeah,
it's a Lifetime series, but supposedly this is going to follow them as they try to figure out how to go on with their lives.
Aww. That sounds terrible.
That does not sound like something I want to watch.
Look, the only people in that family we were interested in seeing are Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, and neither one of them appear like they're going to be in this show. So what's the point of that? TMZ has just posted a story on the Tanorexic Mom, who we all love so much.
Oh, she's so great.
By the way, Lisa, you follow the news pretty closely. She became famous because she had been arrested or something or charged with taking her little girl into the tanning booth. And, of course, that's against the law because she's under 18, right?
Right.
She claimed that the little girl went into the room with her but did not get anywhere near the tanning bed. What was the result of that? Have they dropped the charges or is she still up for something?
Oh,
I
don't know.
I haven't heard the latest. Apparently these days, all you have to do is be famous, and it doesn't matter if you're famous for killing a dude or for winning an Olympic gold medal or an Oscar or being the Tanorexic Mom. But now she has been offered. Apparently multiple people are interested in featuring her on a reality television show.
Yes, please.
Because
are you kidding? You wouldn't watch that? She's a freak. You wouldn't watch that?
I might be tempted to tune in.
Because she's crazy.
Maybe once.
It used to be not that long ago a woman like this would make the news and we would all laugh at her and scorn her and she'd go away forever in shame. Now she's a permanent full-time celebrity who will never be able to get away from. Like the White House party crasher who's still on my television years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
She also says, by the way, that she is more than willing to pose for Playboy.
Yeah.
And is ready as soon as they ask.
She's so hideous.
You don't have to airbrush her tan on, at least.
She says she has been practicing her sexy poses, and she is willing to strip down for Playboy as soon as they ask. Isn't she like 62,
yes,
or is she really just 25 and looks 60?
I think she's 60 and looks 80, is what
I
think it is.
I'm going to put you down as you're in if she gets a reality TV show.
Yes, but not Playboy.
But not Playboy.
Right.
You're out for that. Okay, I understand.
All right. John Travolta's story continues. We've been mentioning this all morning. His lawyer is claiming that any of these charges that he made inappropriate sexual advances to male masseurs is ridiculous. None of them have merit. Two more have joined the lawsuit. A cruise ship worker, Fabian Zanzi. Apparently, John Travolta was on the cruise, offered him $12,000 to have sex with him. He tried to tell on John Travolta, and he got fired, he says. And then there's the Peninsula, a former Peninsula employee, who told the New York Daily News that Travolta was placed on the hotel spa's blacklist for over 3 years because of, quote, inappropriate behavior.
How did they take him off the blacklist, exactly?
Great question, Lisa.
Yeah, because he can't show you that he's not doing that anymore.
He's reformed.
Unless you let him in, yeah.
Apparently he removes his towel regularly, grinds against the massage table, and lifts his butt up in the air.
That's just calisthenics.
Where's that video,
just
by the
working
way?
It.
I don't want that video.
You always mock me for wanting to be on a jury. How great would it be to be on that jury?
Oh, that'd be great.
Be the best.
Yeah.
And I'll close with this. I guess we knew it was going to happen after the phenomenal success of Tupac and his appearance at Coachella in the form of a hologram last month. Now, Freddie Mercury is coming back from the dead. Queen is celebrating the 10th anniversary of the popular musical We Will Rock You with a hologram of Freddie Mercury, the band's late lead singer, part of a special performance. Brian May, the guitarist for the band, told the BBC that this was in the works for a long time, way before Tupac's hologram at Coachella. He also says this is a one-time thing. They don't plan on taking the hologram out on tour, but that Adam Lambert is going to be fronting the band for a few concerts later this summer, as we have been hearing. But, I mean, it's on now for these holograms, right?
Well, I would think so, but you know what? It seems like such a gimmick. It seems so gimmicky. Would you go see an entire show with that? I would.
I don't know. I mean, they have been in Japan for a long time. I mean, they literally have these virtual stars that are not even real people that sell out arenas and people go see them in concerts.
People in Japan are nutty.
They have stores where you go and pet cats.
Japanese people are nutty. They really are the nuttiest people on earth.
Truly.
I love them, but every weird story comes out of Japan.
So, in other words, you enjoyed seeing Tupac at Coachella in small doses.
Yeah.
But you would have been bored with it after three or four songs?
They did one song and like three quarters of another song. And then you go, wow, that's cool. But you need something else. I need something else. I think that would bore me.
We fast forward to a year. I think you're going to be driving down the strip in Las Vegas, and you're going to see Elvis Presley over here, and you're going to see Frank Sinatra over there.
I don't know.
You're going to see Liberace over there. I mean, it just seems like it's inexhaustible, the amount of fans that some of these acts have that people will pay to go see.
Maybe.
If it's like a real concert, if it looks that good.
If it gets better, maybe? I don't know. If you know that it's not them.
Right.
Isn't it just like watching a movie?
Right. And it lacks the excitement of a real concert where anything could happen.
Right.
It's like watching a movie as opposed to a concert.
Right. I wish I would have just made that point. Isn't it like watching a movie?
I said it better.
Oh, you did. That's
Isn't what it's really like, though? It's not a real thing at all. It's just watching a film. I mean, that's all we're talking about
here,
right?
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Celebrity birthdays, there's too many to mention. I mean, it's absurd.
Just pick one. All right, that's your one.
All right. George Lucas.
Happy birthday, George Lucas, and everybody who shares May 14th as a birthday.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Beer Mugs weigh in.
Woo!
See how that's going.
He's feeling good.
He's always feeling good. It doesn't make any difference.
True.
And we're in the home stretch here because the bet ends June 1st. So if you are as bored of the weigh-ins as I am, at least know there's only a couple left, and then he has to pay big dollars out for the weight he didn't lose.
It's Book Tuesday, as we usually do. So we have the author of a book about searching for Whitey Bulger. You may not recognize the name, but he was the second on the FBI's most wanted list behind Osama bin Laden, and then the first.
They just caught him last year,
They
right?
just yep. caught him, and he was living in Santa Monica the whole time.
Yes.
But wasn't he on
for
the run?
20 years.
For 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a lawsuit waiting to happen here because I've been calling my junk Whitey Bulger for years now. This guy manages to use it as a name? Come on.
He's a gangster, Bean. I think he wins.
He's in jail. I win.
Oh, okay. And we also have the dictator himself, Sacha Baron Cohen, on the program tomorrow. Really excited about that. Plus your tickets for the Black Keys. So come back tomorrow and we will see.